ready for the best in show.
Entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
Previously on Best in Show.
I'm having a good time at a wedding, and somebody has to snap my picture and then put it on the Facebook page to the whole world to see.
You didn't crap on someone's plaque at the wedding now, did you?
Like, my good time that I thought I had was ruined and tainted. Isn't there photographers there taking wedding pictures? Why is there someone else now taking a picture? The hell did I do at this wedding? And you know what? In my memory, it was so nice. It was such a good wedding. I had such a great time, and it was so tainted. I hate it. I hate it.
This is really bumming you out that bad that people took your picture?
They didn't only just take my picture, but they took my moment. They took my happy moment that I had.
Your rights were violated. And I would like to officially say that I stand behind that being the case.
How is it that you're living in this world now and you don't know that everyone has cell phones and will constantly take pictures, especially at a place like a wedding?
Bro, I think I got caught doing the worm at one point.
That's an awful, awful thing. Shame on you for doing the worm in public. Please, someone give me that video.
Make out with dudes for pictures at events and be a real man like Brian.
Do you think if I become the guy that says, don't take my picture, can you delete it? Can you delete it now? Is it crazy?
It is crazy.
Welcome!
A hearty good evening to you, and welcome to Best in Show, bestinshow.com, here on Heroes Talk, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be, a magical wonderland, a fantasy cavalcade, and all that talk radio goodness that these idiots can muster. Want to be a part? You can. 877-744-6405. It's a phone number. Call it. Talk to us. We'll talk back to you, just like friends. It's hard. It's getting harder and harder to do something different with that every time because you can't do it. I try anyway. My name's Chris. I'm going to be hanging out with you guys for about 3 hours, give or take. I look across the table and I see my special friend who's looking a little bit more macho than usual. His name's Keith.
Well, hey, Chris, how are you? And we have a lot of stuff to get to tonight, so let's get right into it.
Oh, of course.
J-Lo, where's she been?
Honestly, I guess the first most important thing that we got to get to is our buddy, not the Unabomber. I don't know what he is with the mask over his face. What's up, buddy Fred?
Hey, boys. Missed you guys. How you doing?
Missed you too, buddy. What's with the look?
Someone in this room doesn't know how to, like, cover the mouth when they cough, so I'm forced to put my T-shirt over my mouth.
Someone that doesn't know how to cover their mouth when they cough, or someone that just doesn't know how to be a human being and not come hang out with his four other friends when he's sick? Who would that be?
I think it's Brown.
Really? Really, that's what just happened. I'm gonna guarantee overmodulation on 100 people's microphone. I mean, headphones. Everyone's dead.
Sometimes you just gotta get clear that phlegm out of your throat. It's like not just my throat; it's in my lungs. It's everywhere. Yeah, it's a bad state of affairs. Did you turn me down? Rob?
He should have. Dude, you...
I'm trying to figure out where the level is now.
Rob, I asked you to do that like 6 months ago.
Yeah, I'm not feeling well. I'm feeling sick.
But you don't know how to cover your mouth. Like my kindergarten class last year, they knew how to cover their mouths.
I want the bad stuff out. I don't want to keep it in. Out bad. Out with the bad. In with the good.
But when you come out with the bad, we get it. Comes the in with the bad. It comes with us. We get the bad.
Can't the bad go into like a tissue or a hand or something?
That's of no consequence to him. His bad's getting out. That's all he's concerned. He's trying to expel his demons. Speaking of expelling demons, riding the ship, making the production go oh so fancy free. What's up, buddy, Bobby J? What's up?
Oh, what's going on, fellas?
Hanging out.
Hanging?
Yeah, just hanging. Just hanging, not. More or less. Yeah.
Hey, Rob.
Hey, Keith.
Hey, Fred.
What's up, Keith?
Yeah.
Hey, Brian. Hey,
back, Keith. Best in Show, back here on Thursday night here on Heroes Talk. Obviously, probably should be addressed the fact that we did take the week off last week. Our good buddy, for those of you that don't know, I can't imagine there's too many people out there that don't know, but our good buddy Alex, Tidbit 88, passed away last week and just didn't seem like the right time to be doing a show, right after that. So just wanted to take a little break and, slowly ease ourselves back into us. Obviously, all our thoughts are go out to Alex's family and to Barb, and just everybody that was it was a pretty awful thing, and unfortunately, this is the magical existence that we all live. That someday all of us are going to have awful things happen, and it just eats it. Just eats it. Not to bring it down, we're gonna try and hang out and just have whatever stupid time that we have here on this stupid show, because we're stupid people. And if you want to be a part of that stupid, I think I said it before, 877-744-6405. Talk to us. Be a part of this dumb.
Not to bring us down, I just looked at your topic list though.
Oh yeah. Sorry. I didn't mean to not do anything good on the topics. What am I gonna do?
Speaking of topics. Check this one out. Speaking of topics, guys, I got a topic.
Seriously, that's honestly a round of applause, because seriously, the Segway champion. There you go. Sorry, Segue champion, because seriously, that was the best one ever. Speaking of topics.
I don't know if anyone's aware, but I am out of a job right now.
Mm. No.
And yes, I am unemployed right now. And
get a job.
Wait, Keith.
How long? About 5 months now, right?
About eight.
Eight, wow.
I think it's about eight, seven or eight. Yeah, so I'm out of a job, and I've actually gone on a bunch of interviews, and I've gone on a bunch of interviews, and I don't know what's going on anymore, because at this point, the job situation.
I'm going to say you're not going to get a job if you go to an interview not knowing what's going on. That's going to be.
Oh, no, I know what the interview.
The first step to getting a job is knowing what's going on in an interview. Wait, why am I even here? Who are you people? Why are you chastising and asking me all these questions?
So wait. Asking the guy interviewing me, can I leave early today? Wasn't a good idea.
Who is you? Who is you?
I said, who is you, B? It was a complete sentence.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Keith, do you think you're going for jobs that might be a little out of your reach? Let's get real.
I hope not, because otherwise the only other option is suicide.
No. McDonald's, then suicide.
What sort of jobs have you been applying for that are having problems?
I'm talking about retail jobs that pay less than a dollar above.
Do you think I could have applied for this one here? Bump on a log. I didn't even realize that was a paying position.
They told me they filled all those.
Oh, damn.
They had a frog call me.
You're overqualified.
And
have you gone for these sales retail positions?
Oh, I've gone for them.
Really?
I've gone for them. And I don't know what's going on at this point. And the scary thing is I've sat a couple times. I've had like group interview things, and I've sat.
What do you mean group interview?
Like they'll interview a lot of people together at once rather than.
I've never heard of a group interview. How does that work out?
Everybody sits down and they ask you questions and they just go around. It's like,
all right. Whoever wants his job the best. King of the mountain. Whoever's left standing gets the job at the end.
I'm thinking they play like musical chairs. And the last one that's left sitting on the chair gets the job, right?
Okay, right. That would
guy in the middle. What do you think of the guy to the left of you? Yeah, so but
so they're really interviewing like little people one-on-one, and everyone gets to see like mini interviews. Is that how it's going?
Yeah, and wow. And these interviews, I'm in here. I'm in like with six or seven people, And a lot of these people, like, you'll ask them, like, you know, like, what is your retail experience? And they'll be like, you know, like, well,
I've been shopping.
I was a district manager for Kmart for 12 years, and then I was just like, oh, my God. and I don't think there's any sort of overqualified, because I think at this point the overqualified thing isn't an issue anymore because people need jobs now. You know, some people have been laid off to the point where there's no more unemployment now, so they're taking these $8 an hour jobs.
I'm going to say that the overqualified thing was never an issue. It was just an excuse, no matter what. That's what my honest belief.
Well, I never believed in it, but people always would say, oh, you're overqualified, or I'm overqualified, not meaning me, but, you know. And I just never, I never bought it, but and I really still don't buy it to this day.
Yeah, and I don't think it's that. I think that it's just a cover.
And it's gotten to the point now where I could no longer, like, now it's to the point where when I get a job, I have a real honest fear that I'm going to be getting a job where Thursday nights from 8 to 11 I could easily be working and that's it. Well, and it's gotten to the point now where I can't, like, you know, I can't not, obviously I can't not take it. The way, you know.
Well, let's see. I thought you were going to say, obviously, I can't miss the show, because that's true.
Well, let's see how desperate Keith is. I wrote down a couple of places where Keith, you know, would he work? Would you work at Hot Topic, Keith, if they asked you to work at Hot Topic?
Oh, I'd love to.
Really?
Yeah. I once interviewed with them years ago.
He needs a discount on his Ramones shirts.
They asked me two questions. They asked me about customer service and what I was listening to in my CD player.
Would you really? Was that your interview?
And I was listening to the Smiths, of course, because what else would I have been listening to?
You're hired.
Would you work at Gap Kids?
Yeah. Oof.
Kids, really?
I'm
like
finding
maybe
it,
the Gap.
I'm finding Gap it kids. Hard to find anything I'm saying order, but okay, yeah, I'll work at Gap Kids.
Would you work at Contempo, which is a women's clothing store?
Sure.
Okay. Wouldn't you? What would be the reason to not work in any of these places?
Would you work at Annie's Pretzels in the Staten Island Mall?
Yeah.
Making pretzels for people?
Yeah, I would.
In those little paper hats?
Yeah, but
what's wrong with that? You got to do what you got to do.
Are you so hard up, would you do like a masturbation film for money? Like, would you do that now?
What sort of a leap did we just take? You named three places in the mall, and then would you go into porn? Would you go into masturbation porn?
I need to make more than $1.75, so probably not.
If someone offered you $5,000 right now, I need a two-minute tape.
Are you going to be – is my face going to be on it?
No. Neck down.
How much am I getting?
5 G's.
No, probably not.
Oh, I was saying next telethon. You won't get the 5 G's.
$5,000?
But neck down, like his face is not going to be shown.
Oh, dude.
So all I see is the Homer Simpson tattoo bouncing up and down.
Don't.
All I'm going to say is if you spend any time on Pal Talk, you can catch me doing that for free any night of the week. I just want people to, you know, hang out. What's up, bros?
Bros. No ladies, not allowed. I'm actually in a room that says no chicks. So, and you still haven't
masturbating.
Got a, and you still haven't got a job. No callbacks, like for second interviews, Keith?
No. I've had callbacks, yeah, and those were promising, but there's always – I'm always get the impression that I'm edged out by somebody else, you know, and like –
And what gives you – I mean, is that just your – is that just a conception that you're having, though? I mean, there's no way that you could know if you've just missed a job. I'm sure you might have. I'm sure you might not have. I'm just – I don't know where you're basing that thing on.
Well, like 8 people in the room with him. Were the 8 people in the room with you all
there were seven hires. There were seven hires.
They said what they said is they said, okay, 7 of you are going to be hired today.
And Keith, we'll see you tomorrow.
Keith, can you go upstairs for a second and find that snipe for us?
Keith, you've been voted off the island.
Well,
again.
All the people in the room, Keith, were they all overqualified than you, more overqualified than you?
A couple of them were, yeah.
Some less?
Yeah, and I hate when people like have memorized the interview, you know, gone on the interview catalog and memorized like – You know, I love when somebody tries to work in the founder of the company's name to an interview, and something completely irrelevant to their.
My weakness is I work too hard, and work takes over my life.
Obviously, that's true. But if I was an employer, if I knew that someone had the moxie to actually go through the trouble to look on the stupid website to actually learn a little bit about the company, I think that's kind of it shows that you're a go-getter
or a people person.
I'm a go-getter.
Definitely.
Definitely. I can't breathe or talk. I've got gravel sliding down my throat while I try.
I got a follow-up interview.
That was just fake. That was just a fake one.
I got a follow-up interview, which I haven't heard back from yet, but I got a follow-up interview taking Brian's advice and sending a follow-up email after being ignored the first time, you know, and telling them that, you know, I really, really, really want to work here, and
you
I think I'd be a good fit.
You threatened your way into the secondary
way in, but I made it known that I'm really interested, and it did get me in the door to two interviews, so we'll see what happens from there.
Congratulations.
Nice.
Keith, can I suggest doing a little social experiment with you and your, you know, trying to get a job? Would you be down to go for a job interview with a toupee on and see if, like, hair makes a difference in getting a job?
Apply for the same job twice with two different resumes, once with a toupee on, once without it. Once is Keith, one is Kevin.
Like, what do you think? Like, I think, like, the hair Keith, Kevin, gets the job.
Do jobs, but jobs that you don't see. The problem is if he actually gets hired for one with the toupee, he's going to get
Kevin.
Really mad.
Well, I wouldn't go for any, although if I get a job, I have to.
Why wouldn't you?
With a fake Social Security number now? Now I have to try to have a
secret identity. They're not going to look for your Social Security number until you get hired. So, well, my name is really Keith. I just go by the name Kevin. A lot of people call me Kev. I love that, going for the bit that you're 10 years from now, people are going to be calling you Kev at your new job.
Can I just go in there and then say, oh, yeah, Kev called. He said he can't take the job, so I was probably the runner-up.
Yeah, no, no, I'll take it. But I shaved my head and changed my name.
You're fired.
I bet you I bet you Kevin gets that job.
No. With hair. I don't think hair is the problem.
Well, why does Brent suggest one time go as Keith and the other time go in a thin suit? Just mean. Oh, mean-spirited. I mean, funny, but mean-spirited nonetheless.
And how many interviews are you going on a week, you think, Keith?
I've had 6 in the last 2 weeks.
And how depressing is it every time getting rejected?
I thought never getting responses was depressing. But going to follow-up interviews?
Please leave me alone. Just leave me alone. I don't want to know.
But getting follow-up interviews and then just like walking out dejected and then like or telling you'll be called that day if you're the person they're going to hire and then the phone doesn't ring.
Is it? Do you feel that at these follow-up interviews, is it that you're getting a false sense of thinking you're going to get it or that you know when it's done, like, oh, man.
Yeah, I had a follow-up interview where I had a great feeling and then I had a bad feeling after I left, you know, and it wasn't the fact that I didn't handle the interview well. I didn't think, first of all, I hate the idea of group interviews, but I just felt like,
yeah, I'm blown away by that. I've never even heard of a group interview.
I've never been a part of a group interview in my life.
Brian, I mean, I know obviously Keith has. Do you know what a group
I've been at, yeah, I've been in jobs where they interview multiple people. What's even worse is when you're interviewed by a bunch of people, when you're sitting at a table and there's 8 people interviewing you at once.
I don't mind that as much.
I think they call it a pressure interview or something like that, because it's like you're in front of a firing line and they really kind of like.
So did they let you leave that day, or did you have to call a lawyer?
Well, the good part about that and the part about you going into follow-up interviews is it means they're interested in you. It means they're beyond – you've gotten past their BS filter. You've gotten to the point where they actually are asking you meaningful questions and trying to figure out if you can actually work for them, as opposed to like what your sign is or how old you are.
Well, yeah, no, I wasn't.
I'm going to – allow me to recommend any interview you go on, they ask you what your sign is, walk out. You should just walk out immediately. So what's your sign?
Well, what kind of questions did they ask in this group interview? Like, did they get really personal? Like, did they ask where you worked? Like, would you give it – just saying out your resume where you worked before?
Yeah, work histories.
That's not personal. How is that – that's like the most obvious thing that you would ask an interviewee. But
did they ask why'd you leave and all that type of stuff? Did you have to say because you text too much?
Yeah, but that's part of a job.
Yeah, that's exactly –
why'd you leave? I didn't want to.
No, they didn't ask stuff like that.
Handcuffs.
But that's not personal. That's totally pertinent. That's totally pertinent to the job.
But to the employer, yeah. not to the people who are applying for the job. I don't think those people should know. This is a group interview.
Oh,
they're
you mean
asking
the other 8 people?
Yeah,
yeah,
the other 8 people.
Yeah,
why should
point.
They know?
That's a good point.
Yeah, and but they ask stuff like that. They ask stuff like, "Give me a." Give me one a of them actually asked, "Give me a selling situation." Like going through the whole role play of approaching a customer and then sort of like stopped and then dropped the whole thing. So I don't know what was going on.
Wait, who said it? I don't understand.
He was leading into like, you know, it was going to be a little role play. I'm a customer. Keep in mind you're doing this in front of the other applicants. Yeah. Give me a little, you know, like pretend to be a customer.
Try to sell you something.
Yeah, like try to sell. And then like halfway through he starts shuffling papers and then he's like, and he just moves on to the next question.
You know what? Let's not waste our time.
He probably looked around the room and said, I don't want to see these idiots role play now.
None of you got hired. Well, I'll tell you, nobody's hiring, because since September, I have been collecting unemployment because I haven't really had a full-time gig in the education system because they're on a freeze as well as everybody.
I was unaware of this. Yeah. I was unaware of this. Since when in September? I mean, because you did do some school this year.
Well, I've been subbing, yeah. I've been subbing here and there.
That's all you do is sub work.
All I do is sub work, and that's few and far between. And since September, maybe it's been like once, twice a week. And I've been dying. And, unemployment is not, I'm not getting 400 on unemployment. I'm getting not even, half that.
Jeez.
And so I'm like, oh, my God. So I'm resumes. I'm going to every school, putting in my resume, trying to get out there. No one's calling me back. And I'm like, oh, man. And then I remember that I have a friend or had a friend on Facebook that was an administrator in a school. That maybe would have some pull getting me a job.
A friend that you only had on Facebook, not a friend that you have in any place outside. I'd like to call that person would be odd, but
yes.
But to Facebook message him would be kind of normal.
Yes.
Okay.
And so I reapplied onto Facebook.
Yeah.
And got my Facebook.
Sellout. You're a sellout.
So if I request your friendship on Facebook, you're going to not accept it, are you?
I tell you, I had to go on, reapply. It's the same account. I had to get the same account. I had to go through all this whole rigmarole, getting my damn
hullabaloo.
Facebook hullabaloo. Oh, my God. I had to go codes. I thought I was in, war games. All these things that you have to do.
Well, all you had to ever do was deactivate your account, which basically takes you off of everyone's page. It makes you invisible. And then anytime you just sign back in and you're activated again. That's what you should have done in the first place.
Really?
Yeah,
I don't know.
And people don't do it because Facebook keeps their information. But that's not what you're worried about. You're worried about more along the lines of other people finding your information.
So luckily he was still on there because when I got onto my account, there was some people weren't on that were on. You know what I mean? Like I had half the friends that I had. I guess people deleted me because some of the friends stayed. Do you know what I mean? I don't know how that's possible.
Yeah, I don't know how that worked. I didn't think that you would automatically delete someone when they weren't – I don't know.
So I reactivated my account, and I wrote this dude a little letter because I knew him. I used to work with him in a supermarket back in, 1995, and that's how we know each other. I haven't seen the kid or talked to him since 95.
Dude, you're networking.
And I'm like, yeah, what's up? How you doing? Blah, blah, blah. Day later, full-time job at a school.
For real?
Nice. For real.
Congratulations. Good for you. Wow. Save Facebook saves.
Really, man.
Facebook saves.
Really. I couldn't believe it. I could not.
Before you know it, you're going to be going for the Scramble Championship. Before you know it, you'll be right in there.
Oh, no. When I got that job, I deactivated my Facebook.
Gone.
I deactivated it. And so I need something else.
Have you discussed with your Facebook friend precisely why you've deactivated your account now? Did you tell him it was only just to get in contact with you to get me a job?
No, because I don't think that person is into Facebook, I don't think he keeps tabs on his friends on Facebook.
So now it's a regular school that you're going to be working at all the time?
Yes.
It's the same school?
Totally. Okay. No, not the same school. Different school.
But how is it a full-time? No, but I'm saying, it's the same school.
Yes,
you have a steady gig at one school.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And I couldn't believe
it. Anyplace nearby?
No.
Long travel for you?
Connecticut?
No, it's still on the island, but it's long.
Pluto. He's actually on Pluto.
But Facebook is good for something. It really is.
Well, I don't know.
It's good for lots of things.
Have you ever tried to get a job on Facebook? Have you ever tried to, reach out to a friend or something like that?
Keith? I haven't.
Have you ever?
Through Facebook? No, I don't feel like if I don't feel like if I don't have if I'm not close enough to somebody to be talking to them, on the phone, then I don't think I should be asking them for a job. And I also don't know that anyone – I don't know what anyone does, honestly. I don't know that anyone works in any area where – if I thought somebody had, worked someplace where I might be able to work, then I would probably ask.
I'm going to recommend if you change your Facebook status to, yo, any of you dudes get me a job, I bet you get a job inside of a month.
I think if you're not asking everybody – I mean, people just have to listen to the show, but – the ones that don't listen to the show, if you put out there going, I need a job, maybe somebody will hook you up or say, hey, I know somebody.
Keith
you
started know? Typing right as we said that. I was convinced that he was tweeting at that moment saying, yo, somebody
I'm
get this brother
his
a job.
Right now.
Seriously, change your Facebook status. Hey, what say one of you suckers get me a job?
Does anyone know of anyone that needs help?
Fred, this new school that you're at, does it have any janitor openings?
I don't think
is
so.
It a
or assistant janitor openings?
Is it a northing or a southern school?
Southern.
So the snotty British kids. Okay. It was one or the other. If it was further from you, I just wanted
I wasn't even assuming it was on Staten Island.
Oh, it was. Yeah.
I wasn't even
assuming that. Luckily it is. It's great.
Is it a a full-time teaching position? Are you now teaching a class? Are you still sort of...
I'm still
of
doing
a
what I'm doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
With a very specific student.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Oh, come on. Can you talk about it at all?
Honestly, I'm legally not allowed.
All right.
And you were legally allowed the last time.
So in other words, commercial break, I will tell you everything.
I was going to say, so in other words, there's going to be no more funny bits recording kids in the school? That's over now?
That is definitely... yeah, that's the...
That's going to be funny next week. It's going to be funny next week.
Let's just leave it at that. How's the pizza at that school now? Good?
Yeah, have you stolen his lunch yet?
Luckily, I have lunch when he has lunch.
So what does that mean?
That means that I leave the school and he has lunch and I come back. So we don't have lunch together.
All right.
Which is great because that was that's the dreaded, the most dreaded period.
Personal time having to sit with this kid and be his friend. That was the dreaded
time. Wow, so that's like a non-job then.
I'm going to tell you this. First day, I'm there, Monday. He goes, you know, you fill the void of me not having a father.
What?
He said void of me not having a father.
How old is this kid?
How old is he?
11.
Okay.
He's calling you dad by January. By the end of this week, you're daddy.
He already implied it. Oh, how many days in?
First
day.
3 hours.
Day one.
3 hours.
I say he picked that up somewhere. I say he heard...
It was right after lunch.
Filling the void. How old is this kid?
Yeah, I say he heard... 11. He heard somebody say to his mother, well, that person could fill the void of him. You know what I mean? Like, he's just spouting it back. Because 11...
Has he hugged you?
No.
He's going to hug you. You're going to have to hug this child.
I couldn't get my arms around him.
Oh, boy. No, it's nice to know that he has a conscientious, caring person taking care of him that's just going to mock him whenever his back is turned, whenever his oversized back that you can apparently show a film on.
That is actually not true. I have really become attached to this kid.
Good for
really
you
good
guys.
Kid. Really
good for you guys.
I'm doing God's work, man.
I appreciate who
God.
I'm unfamiliar with his work. Is that the name of the school? PSGOD or something?
But I couldn't believe it. Facebook, I apologize. And you did right by me, well, Facebook.
Congratulations to you. And unfortunately, no congratulations to Keith.
I'm wondering about this whole Facebook
thing. Fred signed into Facebook. 4 days later, has a job. You've been applying for 2 years to things without Facebook. I'm telling you, change that status. Say, yo, seriously, somebody get me a job or I'm going to whip your ass.
Status. Keith is unemployed. Yeah.
I'm worried
Keith,
about...
Yeah, exactly. Change your status to is unemployed. Help me not be.
Yeah.
Well, it's not Facebook that got out of the job. You chased a guy who you knew could get you a job. If Keith knew of someone who could hook him up, he wouldn't...
I'm sure Keith knows somebody. I'm sure Keith is only one degree away. Like, Keith knows somebody that knows somebody.
Yeah,
that
I think that's it.
Work.
I don't think it's direct. I think it's somebody else. Why don't you make a Facebook app about this?
What do you mean?
Make a Find a Keith Job Facebook app, and then you send out...
Oh, man, you're talking about a lot of things involved. Like, I have to do stuff? I mean, you know what? If it was like a Chris Lieben...
It's a job request.
If it was a Chris Lieben gifts application, or if it was like a... Or if it was a Taye Diggs' dope gift application, like, that'd be one
Keith
thing.
Would be all over it.
You know, that I'm fine with. I don't know how to do anything with, like, making apps. You know how to do that stuff, right?
Yeah, I'll just get little pictures of different jobs.
Of you do jobs. Like, Keith is a garbage man. Keith is, like, a mailman.
I just got to figure out a way to turn that into a paycheck, and I'm set. I'm worried about stuff like Facebook, though. I'm worried about this show. I'm starting to go where Fred was going. I'm starting to want to delete everything and change my name.
Dude, 100K is back. Is this what we're talking about?
100K is back with no Facebook account and no face.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest with you. I will be dumbfounded if for some reason you think that retail jobs finding out that you do a talk show would somehow stop it. I'd be blown away.
Oh, no.
I 100% know that the certain channels, maybe not Facebook to get into, but there's other certain channels such as LinkedIn, more professional work, you know, and without a doubt that I know that everyone goes to LinkedIn and Googles and searches because my company does it right now.
I'm not suggesting that people don't look into it. I'm saying looking for a retail job, I can't imagine that while someone's looking for someone in a retail job sees that, oh, wait, he does an internet radio show. Oh, get him out of here.
No one would understand if that's a full-time gig, that he's a internet radio show guy, that that's his job versus a hobby.
It's not even that. I'm afraid of them listening to it.
But I'm saying, it's not like you're on the, you're not on like the White Power Radio Hour. You're not on the, you know, Keith Hates Fags show. Like, it's like you're on a radio show that talks about current events.
Have you been following me around on Sundays?
I actually have a website. I have a website that says, if Keith so-and-so applied for your job, lookhere.com. That's my new website.
Rob, what Chris is saying is that Hot Topic is not going to turn Keith away because he's Best in Show Keith. You know what I mean? Like, if they find out he's related to some silly radio show, it's not going to bother Best Buy.
Exactly.
Turning him down to be some.
If he was applying for a job, I don't know. I'd be hard pressed to think of a job that he would apply for that it would be an issue for you to
come
to the radio show.
As a teacher, for example.
Yeah, he's not going into office, you know, Keith.
Right.
You know,
I don't know, man. You know what? People have a feeling of self-importance.
By the way, Steve Alarper suggests that he wants to be the co-host of the Keith Hates Fags show more than anything. That's what he's looking to do.
I remember that at my last job, those people, like, if I could see one of those people, like, searching through and then, like, specifically finding out one of their applicants is on a radio show and, like, listening to it to see what it's all about, just so they can tell someone above them, hey, you know, raising their hand, I heard this.
That is my nightmare.
But that's...
That's my nightmare.
I can understand that. And I can say, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying, you know, hey, do whatever you need to do.
Yeah, but do you think that the last place that you worked at would actually not hire someone because they were related to an internet talk radio show?
They're so screwed up, I don't even know. Probably not.
Yeah, I would think they'd let it. I mean, hey, it would be funny.
Oh, no, yeah, I'm saying probably not. They probably wouldn't hire them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Our buddy White S. Brent is suggesting that Keith should get a job at a Subway just to see the look on his face every time someone asks for extra mayo on a sandwich.
So we'll give it to them. Nah, we're out. Nah, that guy's getting it. Nah, we're out.
That's what he thinks.
Do you think, Keith, do you think these social networking sites and, like, you doing the show has hindered you getting a job to this point?
Like, I don't think yet, but I fear that it could at some point. I think it probably hasn't yet. I think this, and I think getting in touch with people at my last company, if they're not following the proper channels, if they're following the proper channels, there should be no problem. I should get a fine reference from the last company I worked for. If they get in touch with somebody that I had a problem with, I wouldn't put it past them to say something along the lines of, oh, I'm not allowed to answer that question. Go ahead and hire him if you really want to.
Well,
you know, like something along that.
Hopefully your reference list includes the proper channels. Are you giving them the proper channels to go through?
Yeah,
the 1,000s. The 1,000s.
The 1,000s?
Yes.
Well, you're talking about the old company.
I'll forget it.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. We'll see. I'm just hoping a job doesn't interfere with this.
I don't think it will.
And if it
because
does,
you're not going to get a job.
If you're not getting a job,
it's not going to interfere.
I don't know. I'm thinking
if that's where your head is at, though. If that's where your head is at, and somehow it's going to make you feel better to do this under a pseudonym or for us to get rid of you and get a replacement who looks sort of like you and has a different name. That's
Kevin.
Not what he's saying. He's afraid of our time slot. Like,
yeah,
I hope it doesn't get in the way.
This is a good question. What's coming out of my mouth? What are there night jobs specifically that are out there? Like, as far as volume,
specifically.
I'm applying in retail. I'm the newest person in a retail job. I'm not. There's the chances that they're going to tell me, okay, we'll see you Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, isn't going to happen. I could ask because retail you usually end up working nights and weekends. Now I could ask to have Thursday nights off, but it's just a position where I can't mention that until I've been at a company.
Get a job.
Exactly.
Get a job first, and we'll deal with it. If we have to move to a different night of the week, we move to a different night of a week.
If we have to get you fired, we'll get you fired.
Don't worry. Send me for your drug test. You'll be aces. Don't worry about it.
I want Kevin with hair to come on the show.
Oh, man, that'd be great.
I know. Like, all these years now, I'm primed and ready to go. I could pass any drug test at any time. Any second of the day, I can pass a drug test. You can go back years, and I'll pass it, and now nobody even wants me to take one.
You should actually do that. Go when you apply for jobs. Hey, oh,
yeah, my urine.
How you doing? Yeah, no, I brought some of my urine with me. Exactly.
Let's speed this along. Here's my social security card. Here's my urine. One dependent.
You know, I've had some strange issues with work as well. Lots of it revolves around the fact that I have not been actively pursuing employment. I'm sort of like sitting back and resting on the fact that my old employer still contacts me to do work every once in a while, and I'm also doing work on the side for other people.
How much are you working and you're not working?
I'm not working enough.
How many hours a week are you working?
Oh, no, it's not by the week. It's like if I can get a couple of hours a month in, it's pretty like yee.
How is that enough to stop you from going to get a job?
Oh, no, it's not. I'm lazy.
I'm saying in your head, how is that stopping you? How are you justifying, oh, well, I get I get 2 hours every, you know, every 30 days or so. I don't really need to worry about
it. It's not,
anything.
Yeah. It comes down to like I'll work for a week straight, and then for 3 months I won't have like I won't have a lot of work, a couple of hours here and there. Or someone's computer will blow up and they'll call me and I have to go kind of work on it.
By the way, when Fred was teasing the idea that he was looking for a job on Facebook, I thought for a second that I couldn't believe that another member of our show lost their job and blew my mind.
I was thinking the same thing. Yeah.
I was convinced that I was the only person that still had the same job that I did 6 months ago on the show. And granted, Rob was never really out of work, but he actually moved to a different company.
Is your girl still out of work, Brian?
Yeah, I mean, decidedly. She's going to school. She's getting her graduate degree, okay. And will be for a couple of years. Wow. But we've had a close friend of hers, the girl who's afraid of laser toilets. She recently got fired, and it's got kind of weird. I was talking with a friend of mine about it, and he is one of the few friends of mine who actually remains employed. And he looked back and he was like, you know, it's maybe me and two other friends that I know have jobs. Everyone else doesn't. Like, it's kind of crazy. Like, you're in the minority if you're employed at this point. It's weird.
Yeah. All I thought when as soon as I thought that Fred had lost his job too, all I thought to myself was, and then there was one. How long before I'm the next one? Well, again, Rob.
Yeah, Vice President Rob.
Rob switched, here. But Rob switched jobs. That's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is the idea of not losing or changing something there. He changed. So, and I was convinced that I was gonna lose something there.
Well,
by the way, I just want to point out, why does Brent in the chat room that that he thinks Brian is lucky? He wishes he could work a 60-hour work year.
Well, it's painful to do it. I shouldn't be doing it. The savings that I had, saved up that I've been stretching out I'm kind of running thin at this point. It's getting painful.
Well, it's hard. Uncharted 2 comes out. What are you going
to
do?
I had to buy that thing. It was a tough thing. I'm still no sneakers. And I'm still wearing the same sneakers I did 5 years ago. I haven't gotten a haircut yet.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Can you tell? Honestly, if you told me you went to the salon this week, I would have thought, oh, nice.
And so you exactly worked this week, Brian?
I did work this week, but that's kind of the thing is that I started getting sick around Friday, and I really started feeling it Saturday, and I was scared that Monday was going to roll around and I wasn't going to be good enough to do it. And sure enough, when I woke up on Monday morning, it was painful. If I had a job, I would have called in sick. And I'm not the kind of person to call in sick and do it. I just – it felt that bad. And I realized that, like, if you're working unemployed, you don't have that kind of pull. Like, I basically just had to suck up and deal with it and go in and work in sick. And I'm working around, like, moldy situations. And it made me sicker probably being there and doing this stuff. But, I mean, I needed the money. I was grateful to be there working under these horrible conditions. And it's like – they know it. Like, people know that the situation is like that out there. So they put you in an interview position where you're interviewing with eight other people, or, you know, they're turning you away. They don't tell you you're overqualified anymore. They don't care, you know, to coddle you. It's tough, man.
By the way, some of these jobs I applied to were strictly seasonal. And one of them specifically, the woman basically starts
involved in seasons.
Starts the
like garlic powder.
Would you have to put on a Halloween costume like outside a Halloween store?
It wouldn't even start until
a Santa Claus.
It's Christmas. No. It's just working.
Oh, it's holiday.
Would you be at Santa Claus Mall, yeah, Santa?
I would do that.
Ringing a bell, standing by a pot.
Dude, he'd be an elf. Would he not be one of the greatest elves in the world that would like sit the kids on Santa's?
I could be a department store Santa if I lose like 30 pounds, I think, that I'm ready. But yeah, there's one of them, it's seasonal, and the woman basically sits down and for the entire duration of the interview tries to discourage me from taking the job. Basically, she sits down and says, well, I have to tell you, it's only seasonal, and it's not going to be many hours a week. And, you know, it's,
it doesn't pay. It's really
probably
doesn't.
Not. It's free. You're not going to get paid.
Yeah, it's just, I'm so
and you're going to have to pay us taxes.
This is where we're at now.
So wait. So you've been on a group interview, and then you've also been on the discouraging like the discouraging like make him quit interview.
Right. And I've had
make him quit before he's hired interview.
One company kept calling my phone.
The how low will he go interview is what they call that.
One company kept calling my cell phone after 10 o'clock at night and not leaving a message, and I just thought it was telemarketers. Until I checked the number and realized. So I called them up and I asked them, and this is a major company, so it wasn't some sort of a scam or anything. And they're like, oh, yeah, we needed help for overnight. So I'm just like, oh, okay, well, no one ever left a message. So, and they're like, okay, so they set up an interview for me. So then I couldn't remember the time because it was between two times. So I call, and the woman's like, no, we don't have you listed on here. And I'm like, what? And she's like, yeah, the last thing we have in your status is that we sent out an email saying that we don't need your help. And I tell her the whole story about what happened. She's like, oh, okay, I'm sorry. Well, someone will get back to you to reschedule. I'm holding my breath for that.
I do want to say, though, the fact that you were getting these weird calls at 10 o'clock at night doesn't make a difference. If it came 5 in the afternoon, you still wouldn't answer the phone. You have not mastered the art of answering your goddamn phone yet.
Well, now I've been. Well, not when I see a number come up, but otherwise
true.
When I see other people.
You're not wearing an outfit like you're wearing tonight to these interviews, are you, Keith?
No.
What are you talking about? I think he looks very professional. He looks like he's ready to play.
When I applied for third base for the Mets.
Third base coach.
I wore that, but otherwise, no. Nah.
What are you, like suit and tie type of guy?
Yeah.
Or are you just really like corporate, like even a suit? Like a.
What do you say suit? Do you mean suit?
Straight suit.
Tie, button down, shoes. That you don't want like Converse.
Tie matching socks and.
Whoa.
Wait. With
socks.
Pants?
What's going on?
There are pants with it?
Yes, there's actual pants.
Wait, he's wearing a pantsuit?
I love
feet,
a nice pants.
If I could show you the cuts on my feet from the dress shoes I've been wearing.
Do you press your shirt?
No.
I can't picture Keith in a suit, though, and tie.
What are you talking about? Are you out of your mind?
At the telethon.
Yeah. Don't you remember the call-a-thon episode 200? Oh, so
I've been in
so
a suit good. A lot around. Now, maybe not around you.
Maybe you should guess.
For years, he would go out in suits and dance. That's what he would do. He would go hang out with all the other kids who thought it was 1967.
Prospective employees might be listening.
Oh, that's right.
Why don't you go business casual? I think that might be a little too formal. Don't
dress down. That's a suggestion, dress down.
You know what? I say you go to an interview in overalls, no shirt. Just really, really
to play
up.
Hillbilly Jim.
I mean, like a business casual. I mean, like
interview. It's an interview. You have to show up in a suit.
Really?
Yes.
I'm going to say honestly, for a retail
for
position, I don't know. I don't know that that's. It depends on
it's,
what type of retail.
Not, but the suit isn't going to hurt. They're not going to say, "Oh, this guy's wearing a suit when I hire him."
What a tight ass! I'm not going to let him sell my. He's not going to be able to sell Misfits shirts for me.
That's ridiculous. What planet are you guys on? You show up at an interview with a suit and a tie.
If you're applying for a job to work in the deli department at a supermarket and you show up in a suit,
I probably would.
You
as an interview, I would show up to the suit. Maybe even the first day.
Then you're never cutting anyone's bologna under any circumstances.
Brian wore a suit for the bread route.
I wasn't interviewed for the bread route.
But you would have worn a suit for it.
But if I was interviewed for it, yes, I definitely would have showed up. I've showed up at an interview for a busboy and I wore a suit.
That's the uniform.
You wear a suit. Do an interview. That's how it works.
Within reason, I understand. I understand the idea of maybe not going super, super dressed depending on the level of employment that you're going for.
I can sort of understand that first day. The first day you should be a little ridiculously dressed up as well, but showing up not with a suit to particular jobs that would
dress for the job
slow you down.
Dress for the job you want, not for the job you have or applying for.
I don't know. Okay, don't get me wrong. I'm definitely a person who, when I first started working, in the industry that I'm in now, in telecom, many years ago, I showed up my first day wearing a suit, and my boss took me into flooded basements intentionally, and he said, "All right, you know that you're not supposed to dress this way anymore, right?"
Was it my boss too? Because he did the same exact
Rich,
thing to me.
He did it on purpose, and he's like, "Now you know how you're supposed to be dressing when you come to work."
But let me ask you something: if you had showed up to the interview, you know he would have expected to see you in a suit for the interview,
probably.
Right?
If you showed up at the interview with in a t-shirt and jeans at that place, you might not have
Bermuda shorts. Bermuda shorts.
Think about it this way: granted, I'm not applying for like a CEO position, obviously. But although maybe I should.
I'm saying, like, with the idea you were talking about overnight help, I'm assuming that's some sort of stocking job. If you're doing something where you're stocking some sort of shelves, I couldn't imagine needing to show up in anything more than like a polo shirt. Maybe a tie with a nice shirt. I think a tie. Don't get me wrong. I can't like it.
That makes a difference. You don't untuck it. You're untucking it.
Come in with a full suit, put your shirt on top. I think that's a great idea. I'm going to say
you're tucking the suit coat into the pants.
To Brian's point, it won't hurt to wear the suit, but I think maybe it's a little bit over because they might think you're a little bit of a tight ass.
I'll tell them I dressed business punk today.
Well, you'll definitely get that Hot Topic job.
Oh, I would love it if Keith got like, wouldn't you go into Hot Topic every day just to see Keith misery?
Absolutely.
I've never been in a Hot Topic ever. I would go in.
Exactly.
I
knew that he was miserable there. In Hot Topic.
Why? Come on. You'd be able to sell me Hello Kitty stuff and, I don't know, things. That's all you ever want to do with.
I'd be miserable.
Or him like selling like those like nitrogen ice cream balls and like one of those little kiosks in the mall. Like I could.
Oh, the little scoops of the tiny ice cream.
Or you embroidering someone's shirt. I would like just, to say their name.
I would just try to push the David Bowie shirts all day.
Well, good luck, Keith, man. You'll need it. 8 months. 8 months.
Dude. Wow.
Good luck, you'll need it.
Dude, I've been out of work.
It's been 8 months.
I've been out of work longer. I still haven't signed up for unemployment.
No, but that's don't say that. Remember, 60-hour work year.
That's right.
You still are employed.
Fred's become an arrogant son of a bitch with his new job.
Believe me, I was stressing out too. I was.
I
with
have
you.
A new Facebook app. I'm going to make up.
Can I make a suggestion? I'm betting, if you were willing to take little trips and leave our fine borough of Staten Island for little jaunts at a time, I'm betting that there are friends. That are friends of ours out there, people that are within the sound of my voice right now that could get you some gainful employment for short periods of time here and there as you so choose, if you're willing to relocate for short periods of time and get some work. I've had conversations with friends about this, about you specifically.
I don't know anything about this.
Yes,
so
you do. We'll talk about it after the show. We'll talk about it after the show.
Fisherman in Alaska for a couple of months.
You'd have to be on a ship with and you're catching crab. But there are friends of ours. There are friends of ours in chat rooms right now that would actually help you get employment if you'd be willing to take leave home for a little bit to go work and do a little jaunt. Maybe go work for a month someplace, put away a little bit of money and come back home. I guarantee it. I know that this exists for you.
Oh, you're talking about I thought you were talking about outside of Staten Island, like I'd have to go work in Manhattan or something.
No, I'm talking about outside of the general area, someplace that you would have to fly someplace and have a place to live for a month or so. But this person would help you out with that. I know this exists.
He's going
to
help Walter Sobchak make one of those wooden towers for Texas A&M.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Whoever it was.
They want them to
they want a repeat.
Never forget.
Unbelievable jerks. It's Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Heroes Talk. Thing you do with your ears, place to be. You want to be a part of the magic, you can. 877-744-6405. I don't know. Hang out. Chat room, pal talk, whatever, all this garbage. There's lots of magical things you can do, Keith. I mean, we're giving you advice here on what the proper thing to do, what the proper clothing to wear for your interview should be or shouldn't be. But talking about all that stuff, and I guess it brings up the idea and the concept of what is the proper thing to do, what is the right thing to do, and what is the right way to do something. I was traveling with one of my coworkers, actually our buddy The Hutch, who's called into the show quite a few times, and we sat and we were having a discussion about the proper
The Hutch.
The Hutch. Come on, that's all.
It's not Hutch.
No, it's The Hutch.
It's The Hutch.
Obviously,
capital
what else?
T.
Obviously. But we were having a conversation about a way that we were going to drive someplace. We were traveling, we were going to work, and we were taking a different shortcut than usual. And he was suggesting I go one way, and then I was suggesting we go another way. And it built up into this, I don't want to say fight, but some heated emotions started going, and it got my head spinning about the idea of the right way that you feel needs to do something and other people that are convinced that they have the right way to do something. And directions is just like the most minor, I guess, of them, but maybe the most obvious because it's something that happens on a regular basis. But like there are ways like, you know, that you lock in on. And maybe I'm off on a tangent here, but like you lock in on your head that what is the proper way.
As soon as you say directions, my first thing is driving. Like when I'm on the road, I am the perfect driver. If everyone drove like me, there would be no accidents in this world. There'd be, There'd be no fender benders. There'd be no speeding tickets because I am the perfect driver.
Okay. In being the perfect driver, do you mean that you follow all the rules of the road, or you break the rules in the way that are non-impacting to other people?
Well, let's get real. The latter, of course.
Okay. I don't know, because there are people who drive. You know, there are people out there that drive like grandmothers, and they technically are the right way to do things. I'm saying like this. Like, I'm trying to think beyond directional things. Yeah, I know. I get wound up when I think about it. I get really wound up. Yes. I sound like you trying to breathe. Yes, exactly. But like, I don't know. The way that you attempt to have an argument or discussion with a person, like there's a right way to do things, and there's a right way to follow a pattern of thought when discussions are happening, where you don't go off on tangents and distract from a point at hand. Things like that is something that you're trying to do. I'm trying to think of things.
Like, are you saying the Hutch was saying let's go down 9th Ave, and you were like no, 2nd Ave is the right one to
Correct.
Go down?
It was something. It was something as simple as that. It's something is there really wasn't a quote-unquote right way.
Oh, no, 2nd Ave is the right way.
Well, obviously. But I'm saying there wasn't necessarily a right way. It was a matter in that particular instance of the way that I would do it versus the way that you would do it. And each one of us being convinced that this is the right way to do it.
I don't know if it falls under the same category, but I can't stand behind people while they're searching for something on the internet. Like if I'm saying, hey, look for it, because I have exact ways I search for things on the internet. And when I see people do other ways, it's just like standing, getting all like shaking and nervous. Like, okay. So just do this.
Standing over anyone doing anything on a computer is hard, specifically. In computerized things, at my job, obviously, there's a lot of different programs that people use that we work. And seeing the way that certain people will try and find an answer when you know a much more direct route to get to that answer makes me insane, too.
The biggest thing, and not to drill it down that far, but the biggest computer annoyance that I constantly see is somebody seeing a message and it says, they don't check the box, do not show this again, and they constantly see it. And if they only just click the box, do not show this again, then it'll stop. But they don't do it, and they keep seeing the damn box.
I want that reminder, though. I want that reminder to know
just
that.
Just in case.
Maybe I won't forget.
And it's like someone to talk to.
It's well, like my little gray box friend saying hi.
As an IT guy, like you can become a little bit of a Nazi.
60 hours a year, kid.
You can become a little bit of a Nazi with that because you now decide – you're now part of the people that decide how the computer should look, and you really have to like maintain computers in the system a certain way, or it actually can have an effect on the system itself. And what that results with is you going in, you're trying to fix someone's problem for them. You sit down in front of their computer and you see that they're working with their default font that is different from the acceptable standard in the office, and you change it for them. And then you got to go back and make sure that they didn't change it back, and you get all – or they're looking at – they're using the new modern style of XP, and you got – God damn it.
Classic.
I made it classic style, and it should stay that way.
You're, a buddy of ours, a buddy of – actually a guy
or
I work with –
or changing from single click. From the double click default to the single click, it goes through. Instead of having to double click anything, if you only click once, it
oh
goes
no,
right
I need
through.
I have to double click.
I know. Well, lots of people change it to single click.
Oh,
and,
I hate that. That would make me crazy.
That's sort of like the nerd geek way to do it.
Our buddy, a buddy of ours, a guy who actually helped me fix my computer when I had my computer virus problems a couple months back. I brought my computer into work and we got everything running. After we get it running, I'm starting to download stuff and going through things as we're going through it. And as we're doing it, he says, oh, yeah, we should check out this. Oh, we got to figure out what sort of media players you have. And I go to download my Winamp because I'm just like old habits die hard. I use Winamp for my, and he's like, yeah, you just can't do this. And he just wrestled my computer away from me that he helped me just get the viruses off of and said, no, you have to use Media Player Classic now. You're not allowed to use Winamp anymore. That's it. And he goes in and he changes like for AVs and MP3s, the default player is this. That's it. No, you can't use anything else. I, of course, changed it back. And this week I actually relented and went back because I really like Media Player Classic better than Winamp. So he was smart. But yeah, like it's more than just computer things. I'm just trying to think like I'm trying to think of things more than just like directions or things like that. Things that
How about this? How about you should be roll. There's one way to roll toilet paper in a bathroom. You roll it so that it spools under, and if you roll it so that it spools down over, you're retarded.
No.
100%.
No way.
Right.
Yeah.
Wrong. The
toilet paper rolls under, not over. If you're over, go back to
beyond.
You're a communist.
Beyond.
Get out of my country.
I would say beyond what his decision of whether over or under is, the idea of the right way to roll your toilet paper.
It's
as
over.
If that makes any effing
under.
Difference.
Hey,
and you're insane to think it's not under. Because it spools terrifically
yeah,
underneath.
Pull down and
but you're pulling like down.
You just rub your hand on it when you're drunk. And you just to spin it out. You just do a
wait,
quick
you
spin.
Just rub your hand on your ass when you're drunk, and that's how you clean up? You're disgusting.
The toilet paper roll. You could just take your hand and spin it down, and it'll go zoom.
And
you
then
know,
you don't have to spin it up. You don't want to go
yeah,
like
yeah,
this.
Yeah, exactly. You're not going to be flicking it up to
no,
pull
you,
down the.
You pull on the actual.
You grab
thing
it.
And, yeah, but
and
say
it
it's not. Say it's round up. How many times is that actually there waiting for you?
No, never.
Never.
It's always in.
So
by the wall.
What's easier to get it unraveled? Spinning downward is easy to get.
I'm going to say that neither is all. I would say neither is labor intensive, so there's really not all that much to worry about. But I do agree with Brian that the proper way to do it is to go underneath. It's just you know
if you,
just,
if you spool
it
over, it more often the paper goes down to the ground and touches the floor. It spools out of control if you're over. There's much more control in an underspool.
I don't buy into that reasoning at all. I think if your toilet paper is just going over and spooling to the ground, then there's something else wrong. That I don't know. Maybe you have an air like blowing on it or something that's making it happen.
Well, since we're talking about the bathroom, I think I have the right way to take a shower and to clean. I always, after a shower, before I get out, clean my shower curtain because like the suds of the
yes.
soap get on the shower curtain. So I kind of like push the shower curtain into the stream of water to
oh,
wash
really?
It off so it doesn't get mildewy.
I push the stream over to the thing.
Or yeah, I sometimes I do that and I just wash it. Wife doesn't do it, and that's the right way to do it. Is you wash the curtain after it's done. After
you rinse the curtain after it's done, and when you walk out, you spray the curtain with Tylex, and you get
that's
to go.
That's a little crazy, but
no, yeah. it's crazy clean. That's what it is.
Totally.
My girlfriend, oh god, this is a point of contention between her and myself. When you're done with the shower and you step out of the shower, you close the curtain behind you so that it can dry and it won't like moisten up and have all kinds of mold. She just keeps it open, just hanging out, just all wrinkled up on the side, lets it dry up
terrible.
And mold and mold. And oh god, I walk in and I see it open and I get angry. I actually get angry that she hasn't closed the curtain. Like you're doing this on purpose at this point. How many times have I told you?
Joining us on the hottest of all lines here on Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. Who's this?
This is Ken from New Jersey.
Hey, Ken from New Jersey. How are you, my friend?
What's up, man? I'm doing fine, and I'll always continue to do fine as long as everybody realizes that the correct way to utilize toothpaste is to roll from the end. I'm sick and tired of seeing your grit marks in the middle of it. Like, you're just, like, how quickly do you need to get where you're going? That you're just gonna squeeze it from the middle.
Sorry,
roll
Ken.
It up.
Ken from New Jersey is 100% right. You roll from the end, right below where the nozzle is. You roll right from that end towards the back of the container. That's exactly how you
they
do
have
it.
A little device that is two rubber bands with two plastic, like, I guess, sticks that actually go in between.
For people that are too dumb to know how to squeeze a toothpaste container.
It kind of, like, brings it out for you. You know what I mean?
They it's actually have cool. a, they actually have a, like, an electrical device now, like, a, you know, that you hang on your bathroom wall, like the perfect dispenser where it squeezes your toothpaste for you.
Hey, Ken, are you over or under with your toilet paper?
I don't care. You know what? It's
really?
It's a frivolous thing. You're gonna. What, this is something you're gonna
wrong.
Clean your anus
wrong
with.
Answer.
Okay, it's not that big of a decision. So you would do it with piles of cotton if you had that. Mm-hmm. Just put it on the damn thing, roll it out, and wipe. My concern is the toothpaste. I say roll it and do it nice and get the maximum use out of it. My girlfriend,
yeah.
I even go through the rigors of making sure that it's perfectly rolled, so that all you have to do is just roll it slightly and get enough. What does she do? Unroll it and squeeze it. It's maddening. I'm losing life, basically.
Well, Ken, will you like, my wife is a toothpaste Nazi. She keeps like five different almost like finished rolls that I consider and deem done, but she's like, oh no, there's stuff in there. There's definitely more stuff, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Or like she won't give me. She won't like she hides where the new stuff is. I'm like, I need a new toothpaste. So, oh no, there's more. You could still use that. And I'm like, Same thing with the shampoo. Yeah. Put it upside down for a day or two to let it come out. She won't give me a brand new. And I'm
oh,
like,
I'm with your
done.
Wife on that one.
So I can't stand it. If I hear the
these are the
you know, and nothing's coming out, it's done.
These are the hazards of not knowing at all what happens on the domestic side of the house, that you don't know where any of these new products are. They're hidden away someplace in the house that you can't possibly discover.
Yeah, you're stopped when you say, can I have toothpaste? And she says no. That's a big problem.
Robbie need teeth clean. Where me get more soapy for teeth from?
But she is 100% right. Yeah. And you know, and I recognize it as a problem. I do recognize. I've almost switched entirely to Mentadent just so that I can't get any more out, because it's impossible to roll a stand-up push-down container of Mentadent. Because I recognize I spend too much time with this goddamn... toothpaste thing.
I'm telling you this it's like $19.99, the perfect squirt or something like that, which would suggest some sort of delicious film of some sort of you know, delightful variety. But it's a nice thing, and it squeezes your toothpaste for you. You never have to worry about it. And the perfect squirt, by the way, whatever it's called, does squeeze from the back of the container properly. So there is no remnant left behind.
Because if you do it any other way, it's like you're really battling, especially when you wake up in the morning and you're tired. You're squeezing it hard to try to get the toothpaste out of there.
Once you get to that point, though, can I recommend a little nice little box cutter? Box cutter, open it up, scoop whatever else you need right out of that toothpaste
container. Wow, I've never gone that far. That's pretty good.
What else are you going
to
do?
I usually, because I've rolled it up to the very end.
And you start doing that.
Oh, beyond the fingers. Yeah. I've already put. This is beyond me pushing the two fingers in there. Now I'm biting it. Like I've got the bottom. I've got the top edge of my teeth holding down the hard part, and the bottom edge. I'm clamping with my bottom teeth. And now I'm holding. I'm doing it in a mirror so that when it spurts out the top, I can rub the toothpaste onto the toothbrush and catch it.
Rub your toothpaste against the mirror that it just squirted across
the
room.
Sometimes it squirts on my forehead while I'm doing it. It's like an awful.
Put some water in your mouth since it's in your teeth anyway. Brush them that way.
By the way, Brazilian Julie is saying in the paltocrum that she uses tooth powder. What is it, like 1906? Like, where does one get tooth powder from?
It's sold right next to the foot powder.
I mean, even in the Great Depression, they wouldn't use tooth powder, and they certainly wouldn't hold on to a toothpaste tube so long as they're chewing on the end to get the last little dollop out. I won't even go that.
But how much is toothpaste?
No, you just go down to the river and you bang your dishes up against the rock. That's somehow that they get clean. And you use tooth powder.
I literally have two tubes of toothpaste that are unopened, just sitting right next to where I keep the toothpaste that I'm now biting down to clamp it over. It's not that I don't have it and it's not there. It's I need to get all of the toothpaste out.
My mother, when I was a little kid, used to brush my teeth with baking powder. She used to put baking powder on the toothbrush and brush my teeth, and it was the most disgusting taste in the world, man. So I think
I think you mean baking soda, but yes,
I think it was powder.
I'm pretty sure it's baking soda.
Baking powder's to cook.
Your teeth rose 20 minutes later.
I don't know what it was. But
it's
it was
baking just, soda.
It came
probably.
In the Arm & Hammer box.
Yeah, that's baking soda.
Really?
Baking powder you make bread with.
Whatever. But I could see where the toothpaste powder would come in. I could see it being a. I never heard of that.
My favorite toothpaste is the Arm & Hammer baking soda toothpaste. They make it with baking soda and like traditional toothpaste stuff. Not so. It doesn't taste good, but it's clean. It's like bleach in your mouth.
Did you ever see somebody open a bag of potato chips or something?
Oh my God! Please don't say something crazy. If you're a person who rips down, if you do not just open the perforation at the top, absolutely the right way to do it. Open the perforated thing. I've got a different new way. I'm not a big fan of these new chip bags that have the little Ziploc-y thing in there. Even though it's a nice thing to reseal it that way, I don't like that the bag is not open from that perforation at the top. I hate that there's a crease in the front of your bag.
I haven't seen it since I went since I worked with someone, and I would see someone just like ripping it like just with their teeth. It's just like first of all, it'd be
or popping it. They just go,
God.
Whatever happens to open, it is okay with them.
like they're trying to free someone that can't breathe in the back.
No, I mean,
they had Pringles commercials about people that just open, you know, they open their bags that way and the chips go everywhere. Who would imagine that could really happen? There are people that do that, and there really are. Just monsters that just don't know how to open bags properly.
The Pringles commercials are the best, though, because, like, it looks like such an arduous task. The guy's just struggling, and then the chips go everywhere. It's really not that big of a problem. Yeah.
His hands are greasy.
What happened?
Yeah, like there's water in the bag or something, too.
But with the greasy hands, obviously the first instinct is just to wipe it across the fun of whatever shirt you're wearing. Suit, obviously, that you're ruining everything. Once you pop, you can't stop, though.
I also opened the bag correctly by making sure very carefully to split it open so there was no remnants of one side of the bag on the other side of the bag. And it irritated me. I've gotten so uptight about it now that I scissor it open. I take all of the little perforations and stuff. I cut it right from that top, and all of it goes off. The top goes up and away in the garbage. It's like a very clean edge all around the side. It's perfect.
I like the style, but it is a little bit crazy.
That's a lot of work.
I picture Brian opening chip bags with a T-square and a paper cutter.
It's with scissors, but it's a good point. I do the same now with cereal boxes. I got to open the bags inside the cereal.
Thank you very much, guys. I got to go.
Thank you, friend. Somebody
I just heard somebody squeeze my toothpaste. I got to roll.
Oh, Jesus. Make sure that's done the proper way.
Brian reminded me of when Phil Hartman on Saturday Night Live used to do the anal retentive chef, and he would spend the whole show just trying to figure out how to throw away like a pepper that fell down.
Yeah.
Another thing, the right way, we brought up showers before. We were talking about the way to clean your shower. What about cleaning yourself in a shower? Is there a pattern that you think is the proper way that you're supposed to be washing yourself?
Hair to feet.
Thank you. Top down, because you can't let any of your filthy that's getting rinsed off go over a part that's already been cleaned. Well, just want to make sure. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yes, but if you're like me and you shave in the shower, when do you shave?
First.
Oh, I shave after.
Some people shave after.
My hair's a softer.
But then your filthy, disgusting hair is going all over your freshly cleaned bosom.
Well, then you wash
bosom.
Your face and you get it off.
Yeah, but now the stubs is dripping.
But wait.
Now you've got your face hair inside your dick hole.
I was just going to...
Sorry.
Okay. Well, first of all, you're saying that, but you're going to go from the top to the bottom. Well, then when you wash your face, then all the stuff you just washed off your face now just wash down your chest.
Oh, I don't shave in the shower.
As Brian so eloquently just say, in your dick hole. You know, all of it's going in there, and you're going to have to redo the entire mess.
I don't shave in the shower. I get out of the shower and shave in the sink like a normal human being. I shower,
oh, I do it
and
in the
go
shower.
To the sink, and then I rinse my face off, and then I'm done.
Well, if
yeah, I would, if I were to do that, I would do that before I got in the shower.
When I did that, I shaved at the sink before I got in the shower. I would never do it afterwards.
I always do it after.
So. Yeah, but then you've got like the stupid shaving cream that you missed like a little high up. You go to work, and there's shaving cream on your ear, and you're like people wonder what kind of an animal you are.
Brian, you got to remember, you're the only person here that has to shave their ears. Most people don't have to do that. Most people don't have to deal with
that. But now I do it in the shower. It's great. You save on shaving cream too. You don't have to like lather up like you do.
I'll tell you another. Watching TV, the right way to channel surf and to look and to watch TV. What's the proper way? The proper way is to keep it on the channel guide and then flick down. Not to change the channel, the actual channel. Keep it on one channel. Look at the guide. Not like channel surf and. Click the
any sort of thing where there's some sort of technological thing that's happening, much like Keith said earlier with watching someone surf or look for something on the web. It's hard to sit back and watch it for someone. I'll speak Brian's language. Try and watch someone else play a video game has got to be the most frustrating thing in the world. And if as hard as that is, allow me to invite you to come to my house and watch a 5-year-old play a video game. It is infinitely, it's infinitely agonizing to watch someone that's, you know, come on, just jump there and you can get that. Just jump right over and you'll be able to get it.
See, I've seen her though; she's like 20 times better than you. Like,
oh yeah, well, obviously.
Well, we're talking about that. There's also a right way to watch a movie. I think you don't pause it, you don't pick up the phone, no distractions.
Oh, now wait a second.
No conversation in the middle of it. I think there's a proper way to watch a movie. If you're going to watch a movie. You know, I don't want to start talking about what we're going to eat
watching,
for dinner.
Watching anything definitely entails attention paying. And I think we've even talked about this on the show before, that when topics are brought up about anything else while you're sitting in the room doing it, that the obvious thing to do to get your message across as to what the proper thing to do is pause, hit the pause button, stop, talk to the person, respond to the question. Okay, cool. Then rewind 3 seconds and start over again. Then you're hammering that message home like, son of a bitch. If we're going to watch this, we're going to watch this. I'm not going to be distracted from this because there are very few things that I care enough about that I'm actually going to sit and watch. If it's something I'm going to take the care to sit and watch, I want to actually watch it.
Yeah, I agree. I don't agree with what you were going to say, Fred, which is no pausing. And that means
I don't like to pause.
I don't like to pause either, but – people just can't shut up. And as a result of that, pausing is necessary. There's no talking while you're going to do the show. And because you can't just clam it for a half an hour while I watch this, then yeah, we're going to have to pause it whenever you talk about it. And now, with the whole TiVo stuff, you're fast-forwarding. You're going to fast-forward through commercials, right?
Yes.
Yeah, of course you're going to do that. So, I mean, that's a good – there. So fit your little conversation in the 10 seconds that it takes me to fast-forward to the next commercial and then shut up.
I'm talking about, you know, a time-consuming thing where you got to put an hour and a half, 2 hours into it.
Shut up for an hour and a half.
If I have to turn this car around right now, I will turn it around. If I have to pause this movie and rewind it to the beginning, I don't care if we're 2 hours and 45 minutes into The Watchmen. If I got to start this goddamn thing over again, and we'll watch the whole 3 hours again. We're doing it. I'm trying to think of what other movie is 3 hours of ridiculously long.
My girlfriend gets pissed off when we pause. Every time we've got to pause when she goes up. When she leaves the room to go, like, get herself some water, it's pause time. Because, like, you know, I guess I'm afraid she's going to miss part of it. That's the other thing. It's like you walk out of the room, you're going to miss part of the show.
Well, my girlfriend and I do that. We pause constantly, but we also end up talking over stuff and realize we have to rewind something.
You honestly are meant for each other because you're two horrible, horrible people that will have conversations during watching something.
Well, it's not like we would do that if someone else was there trying to watch it, but just talking.
Because I've never been in the movie with you. I've never been sitting in a room with you trying to watch a movie.
Yeah, but you know. Someone accounts.
Something that you care about,
Fred,
exactly.
Before you were talking about like channel surfing via TV with digital TVs, it is the right way, the way that you described. Not only it's discouraged against to do it the other way by the I guess manufacturers of TV programming because of the way that like digital programming is sent back and forth. You can freeze up. Keith could probably tell this. Like. I don't know if anyone's ever complained about my TV's frozen up, and that's because they have like a little thing that the salesmen tell.
You're such an ageist. You just customers. Did an old person's voice to do that. My TV's frozen up. What? Maybe a young person froze in TV.
No. Because he was doing a woman.
In the old timey days of 1988, you know, used a channel surf by clicking through the channels. There was no description of the things that was going to – you'd go to the TV channel and then have to see what was going to go on if you were lucky enough to be a cable TV subscriber.
So just so I understand what you're saying. So if you have a digital TV and you freeze and you pause multiple times, it could actually – it'll hang your TV
up. If you switch from channel 9 to say, hey, what's on channel 10? Switch to channel 10. Oh, to 11, to 12. Do that five times in a row. Your TV is going to freeze up.
So if I'm sitting there, I'm sitting in my house relaxing, enjoying myself. Trying to watch a little bit of TV. I'm sitting there. Oh, look at this. I'm enjoying some Seinfeld really nice. And I flip the channel really quick. Let's say I want to put on the new 90210. All of a sudden, everything gets frozen, and I'm stuck on this 90210 thing. That was a good try, right? A good force one.
Hey, Donna, I hear you don't live around here no more. Where you living at now? California.
Four, right? That rhymes, no?
New York.
Oh,
New York.
Well, see, that would have worked too. Buddy, you there? We don't
know. Wow. Hello. Greetings, greetings, greetings from the sunny coast of California.
Good.
Did you say funny?
Sunny.
Oh,
funny.
Sunny. I realized that you said funny.
I guess good afternoon.
I was ready to laugh.
It's funny also.
Good evening and welcome from the left coast as you're joining us.
You should be lit on fire.
No, seriously.
That is the wrong way to say that.
No, welcome from New York West. How you doing, buddy? What's going on?
Not bad. I'm settling in. I've been here now for 2 weeks.
Nice, and you're
2 weeks.
You got your place, and you're settling in. You fully unpacked yet?
No, I haven't unpacked anything. It's all sitting in a giant mass of boxes right up against the wall.
I wish more.
But I'm in a sublet, so. You know, I'm not going to unpack it all just to pack it all up and move it again in 2.5 months.
Okay. Oh, so is that it's that short that you're going to be there for? Yeah. So you're going to go mad. You're going to go absolutely mad living out of boxes for 2.5 months. I would imagine that 2 weeks in, you've already gone halfway to mad.
Yeah, I couldn't find my towels. That was a real problem.
Eh, don't bother.
And I don't know where the glasses are. Yeah, a little bit of a problem.
Solo cups and air dry. Problem solved. There you go. Shake. Don't worry about anything. We are shake. Disgusting.
Use their shower curtain.
Yeah.
Oh, no way. It's like plastic and gross.
Well, actually, I think Brian was actually the person that taught me that when you go through that whole phase of things that aren't, that stay in boxes when you first move in, if you didn't have to go through the trouble to find it, then you could just throw that box out.
In a month. You got 30 days. If you didn't open the box in 30 days, throw it out.
Yeah, exactly. Two weeks.
Yeah, I took things out of the attic of my old house that I never unpacked, and I lived there for 5.5 years.
Throw it away.
Good thing you brought it. Good thing you made the trip, because, I mean, without that, that transcontinental drive, I'm sure it wouldn't have been led a fulfilling life in a dump.
She needed her Transformers memorabilia from age 12.
Don't get me wrong. I totally understand. I
did find a lot of Pee Wee Herman trading cards.
Yeah, that's necessary. That needed to make the 3,000-mile trip.
Don't get me wrong. I totally understand that in the attic of my place where I am living right now, I definitely have an amplifier that I have not played with in three houses that I've lived in because it's actually broken. There are actually wires disconnected from the speaker to the actual amplifier itself. But I'll keep bringing it with me and storing it.
Someday you'll fix it. You'll totally fix that.
Someday I'll fix it. And until I do fix it, the best thing to do with this thing that weighs a good 70 pounds or so, go climb up a tiny little rickety ladder and throw it up inside the attic. It's probably the best storage place for it. Awesome. So how was the trip getting cross country?
The drive was pretty good. Drive was actually uneventful. I did drive.
Alone?
I left on Thursday with my cat.
Okay.
So yeah, alone.
Alone with my cat. Yes. Yes.
How is that? How is that? Do they they pee and poo like on the way because it's like a 20,000-mile-hour trip, right?
They hold it.
What did you just describe the trip as? A 27-mile-an-hour trip? Is that what it was?
20,000-mile-an-hour trip.
No, they know not to pee or poo through the entire 5-day extravaganza.
Actually,
just under 3,000 miles.
An hour and a half in, Vanessa's just yelling over and over again, hold it, hold it, crush your cat legs, hold it.
Are we there yet? No, but do you have a litter box like in the cage?
No, she was in a carrier.
Oh, cats don't get to, they're not like dogs. They don't get to like sit and hang their head out the window with their tongue wagging, just like really smelling the great outdoors.
Cats are like cats.
We lost one back there somewhere.
Hanging out, holding a kite.
And it's one cat, right, Vanessa?
Yes. One cat, I took with me.
But how long? So, I mean, did you take your trip just full on? You just went straight the whole way? You tried to get there as quick as possible? I mean, I remember seeing your updates on Facebook when you were, as you were updating your status as you were going cross country. But I wasn't chronologically putting it together and realizing how long it took you to get from spot to spot because I'm not good at math. So, I mean, how long of a trip? I mean, did you like shot across? Did you stay places cross country slowly? How'd you do it?
I left on Thursday afternoon, on Saturday afternoon, and I got in Thursday afternoon. So I stayed like 5 nights along the way.
Okay, and
I drove. Yes.
Hoteling it. So roadside hangouts. Yeah. Or
that's a pretty aggressive schedule.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not like 20 hours awake straightforward, but that's still like. I mean, that's 8 to 10 hours a day.
Dude, I went on a trip to Ohio, and it took me 5 days to get to Ohio. Three states away it took me that long. That's amazing that she got cross-country in that time.
Which means she had no fun at all. She just, like, drove until she was bleary-eyed and then got in a hotel.
You think she didn't have fun? Think about that cat holding it in for 5 days.
And what was the major point of you moving, Vanessa?
The major point why I wanted to?
Yeah,
Because if I stayed in New York any longer, I was going to hang myself. So I figured it was time to go.
Hang yourself? Why? You were any reason?
First of all, I lived in this place I didn't want to live in. That I was kind of stuck because that's where I had lived with my ex. You know, I moved out, so he kept the house, and I was living in like this little apartment, and
in the same town.
I was only still there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the same town, and I was only still there because that's where my business was, like that's where my clients were. Mm-hmm. But I hated it, and I never saw anybody because nobody lived up there. And you know, you can kind of isolate yourself when you're in a relationship because at least like the two of you are together. But once you're by yourself and you live somewhere you don't want to live, it's pretty awful.
Did the impulse ever come in at all? I mean, you're still I don't know if I if how comfortable you're answering. What is the status of where you are with your Canadian elf boyfriend?
Elf.
I thought he was a vampire.
Yeah, blood elf.
Yeah, we're still talking.
Okay.
We're still talking. So
was the thought to ever to go north of the border ever a thought? Or nothing for you up there but maple syrup and screw it.
No, it's just it's really cold. If somebody was gonna move, like, you know, everybody should just move to California. Like the idea of you know, you're gonna make a big move and you move north to somewhere where it's like 2 degrees and snowing for a good portion of the year.
I could see if you're homeless, of course it's stupid, but you're in a house with heat. You know, is it that bad? You really hate the cold that much, Vanessa?
I would imagine that. I mean, I guess.
Yeah.
Two words: medical marijuana.
Yeah. Free healthcare.
What they have? Well, we have medical marijuana in California.
Yeah,
that's true.
And it's like it's running rampant, as I understand. Everyone's taking advantage of it.
Well, they're trying to get it. They're trying to get it outlawed now.
Yeah, obviously, that's a really important thing because I mean, if you really think about it, it's so hard. It's so hard to get marijuana anyplace else unless it's a medical. I mean, obviously, Fred is a testament to that. He's been straight edge for years because you can't get marijuana anyplace else.
I understand. It's a whole different phenomenon. When you go to the stupid little coffee marijuana bars or whatever that are there, like you have to select from a whole host. A different
they have like little like coffee type marijuana bars for people with medical problems though. I don't understand.
But, yeah, absolutely. But you get a script really? Written for you if you have a stomach ache.
I thought you get it from like some sort of a
it's Amsterdam for people with prescriptions.
And the prescriptions are given out by just anybody. Like it's an ID card to get a boys club to go.
Friends of ours, I'll name some friends of ours that, you know, supposedly have medical problems after, you know, when we're off or during the break, I'll let you know some friends of ours that definitely are card carrying.
Basically all the head shops have been converted to lounges and they sell pot. So that's pretty
welcome
much
to Marijuana's. Come on in.
Kinda.
$10 copay, thank you.
And Vanessa, have you been trying to tempt your beau into moving to the States?
We've talked about it. We've talked about it.
Wow, so this is for cereal.
I'm still kind of in the we'll see what happens place.
Now, are you further?
But, I mean, we're kind of coming up on a year.
I was going to say, is it the we'll see what happens phase as far as you and he are concerned? And I apologize if I'm asking an uncomfortable question. Or are you still kind of licking your wounds from the past relationship? Or is that just you're cool at this point with that?
No, I'm okay from that. Okay. It's just, you know, there are it's hard to make really serious plans with someone that you don't see on a regular basis.
Right
because
on.
You know, nobody really knows anybody until you're, like, living in much closer proximity to them.
Or living together.
Or ever.
Yeah.
Now, are you further away from him now, or are you closer?
He's in Toronto, so I am way, way, way on the other side of the country.
Oh, okay, so you were closer, and Leah living in where you were.
It was only a 7-hour drive.
Yeah.
When I was only there. So.
Now, how did he feel? Did he feel like that you were kind of like you're moving away from, like giving him the boot when you move that far away?
A boot is what they said.
No,
there. It's just all a boot. It's just all a boot. You're giving me the boot?
I don't think so. I think he's fine with it. I think it's fine. I think, I think he's fine.
Vanessa, is it more about us? Did you kind of leave New York because... Well, to get some distance between you and Best in Show Radio? I mean, you're
No, I had already taken the distance from Best in Show Radio.
You don't attend our off-air meetings. You really didn't talk to us that much at the Labor Day gathering. You made us go out and, like, find all kinds of other Vanessas to take your place while you were missing. We feel a little slighted.
No, you don't.
Yes.
I've never been invited to an off-air meeting once, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I mean, if we had them, you'd be invited.
Does this have anything to do with that stalker? Did he come back and you just decided to throw everything in the car and move on?
No, it was, no, the soccer gave up. It was fine. It's just, it's, you know, like, I don't even know why you guys are living there.
So, Vanessa,
I got a job out here, and I moved.
Oh, wait, look, you moved that. To a job. I didn't know that.
Look at this, Keith. Another, yeah. Another person that just ups and leaves. She's in someplace for 10 minutes. She's got a job already.
So what about, are you still...
I already had the job when I moved.
Look at this. She didn't even have to look.
So have you completely, have you given up your old practice? Are you still going to do that, or...
No, I'm still going to do that. I just have to go through the licensing process here.
Your clients just have to drive really long now.
That's
a commute.
Do you find that like you have to kind of like change your style and or like your pace of life now? Has that changed that you moved to California? Is it a big change?
Dude.
Well, it's a lot more time in a car because you're in rush hour. But I think that, I think for someone like Chris, like his job, he already spends a lot of time in a car. So it just depends on what kind of lifestyle you have.
Mm-hmm. So you must be in L.A. then.
Yeah, I'm in L.A.
So, Vanessa, is there a lot more... Oop. I feel like I'm having a hearing test.
Her new job's in the water.
I guess, apparently. She fell down a well.
Are you there?
Vanessa's new job is as baby Jessica. That's what just happened. She's the girl in the well at this point. I don't know what's going on.
Did you step outside or is there a...
No, I'm sitting right here.
Okay. It was intimate.
Earthquake.
Do you worry about that you have to be, like, you're not just, like, more of an individual out there. You got to try to, like... be up ahead of everybody, and you have a lot of competition as far as personalities. And I heard like LA's just a big kind of like, yeah, like everyone's what? Like blonde and buxom and you know, all that, you know, like he,
wait,
you know
wait,
what
wait,
I mean?
Wait, 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 slow down. What do you mean by, and again, I don't mean to interject. I'm trying to understand what you mean by where's the competition? First of all, is there any place more competitive than New York for anything?
I don't know. I think LA really has more of a people, I think they're more of cliquish out there in L.A. as opposed to New York where you could still be an individual.
Well, she's also got experience. I mean, she lived out there.
I don't know. Is
it more cliquish out there?
If you work in the entertainment industry, I can see that being the case. If you're a person who's moved out to L.A. because you want to be, you know, because you were the prettiest girl in your high school in Ohio and you want to, you know, be an actress, like, then, yeah, I imagine that you're going to have a pretty rough time and you're going to feel like it's pretty cliquish and superficial. But that's because what you want is cliquish and superficial. So I don't experience those kind of troubles.
Yeah, so F you, minuscule pet.
All I know is
from Ohio.
I did hear that if I had the money, honey, they've got my disease out there. So I figured it was the place for me to go because I was the prettiest girl at my high school in Ohio.
Randy Newman loves L.A. too.
Well, we love it.
Can you talk in any level of detail about this new job that you're going into? Is it a different career?
Yeah, it's in fashion.
Hot topic.
I work for Pinup Girl Clothing. No.
Oh, awesome.
I work for Pinup Girl Clothing.
Very nice. What is that?
So I'm doing, it's a design company, a clothing line.
Is it like punkish? Alternative, like
uh-huh.
type of dress?
Tattoo chicks wear their stuff.
Yeah.
The way that I like to describe Pinup Girl Clothing is if you ever do a little enjoyable searching online for I'm assuming Max, you're seeing nothing but Pinup Girl Clothing all the time.
If Suicide Girls wore clothing, they'd wear Pinup Girl.
Part of my job is photo shoots, is dealing with getting the right product on models. So I was working with Masumi on Monday, and we went to dinner.
Excellent.
And you dress the models? You say this is what you're going to wear?
Part of my job is getting all of the right stuff on the model. So I have to coordinate.
How hot is that?
I have to coordinate that.
You don't physically.
It was literally like Masumi holding her hands out straight and me pulling clothes on and off of her.
Sounds awful.
And, Yeah,
that's awful.
Maybe this is a place for us to move to.
Wow, it is smutty. Somehow
I can't imagine that there's jobs for five overweight idiots to be standing around watching you do this. Are there jobs doing that? Because I'd like to get hired.
How much would you pay Keith to dress Masumi Max?
I'm not going to pay Keith anything. It's my job.
Wow.
That's a crazy job. You dress people and you get paid for it. It's pretty awesome.
That's pretty great.
It's just part of it. It's just part of it. But
the other part is undressing them. Yeah. Undressing them to dress them again.
Vanessa, there was that part too.
Do you dress? Do you do any of this modeling yourself in these things?
No. Of course not.
Like, do these models take themselves so seriously that you have to, like, unbutton their button and unzipper their zipper and the whole nine? Like, they don't do anything. They just put their hands up and then you have to, like...
No, it's not.
They're models.
It's
they don't know how
like
to.
A, just stop it. It's not out of a jerky way. It's about a get-it-done-quickly way.
It's not like...
Masumi wasn't standing there going, okay, Vanessa, dress me. You know, we were just... It was for, you know, speed and efficiency.
I'm just imagining it's because the
sexiness.
Because the clothes are so tight and so hard to get on. Mm-hmm. I need your help. You know what? This is a little bit too tight.
Can you hold the left one while I squeeze the right one in?
Vanessa, do me a favor. I need some sort of moistening agent. Could you rub some sort of oils all over here so maybe we could slide? You know what? Saliva would probably work the best for you to slide that on me here. Exactly. Exactly. That sort of thing is what. That's, you know what? If that's not what it is, don't tell me, because that's what I'd like to imagine that Vanessa's job is moistening asses.
It is, and she's doing John Goodman this week.
What a lucky lady. What a lucky lady. John Goodman for pinup girl clothing. I can see the ads now.
Are any of these models bitches? Like, do they say, go get me coffee or to, like boss you around? Did you get any of that yet?
I've only been on the job for 8 days, so I've only worked with Masumi so far, and I already know her, so no.
I was going to say, she's someone that you're friends with already.
With mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And she's like the ultimate pro, you know. She's just absolutely no drama and the sweetest person and just, yeah, she's the total package.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she was in a David Lynch movie. What else can you say?
Well, Vanessa sounds happier to me. Oh, she sounds like a different Vanessa.
There's definitely a little more spring in her step. Right? A little more. I don't know what other euphemism.
Powder on her nose.
There's a little more powder on her nose. There's a little more fly in her ointment. It's, you know, she sounds good. She does sound happier and better.
Saline in her whiskey.
Exactly.
So I hired movers. Because Chris, you told me that when you're an adult, you can't ask friends to move things. You have to hire movers.
Well, first of all, when you're moving cross country, it's gonna be kind of hard. Hey, I'm moving cross country. You wanna get in the car for a week and help me move? That's one thing.
And then find your way home.
I tried to get people to get in the car for a week. But I was like, it's an adventure. We'll take pictures.
It's an adventure for you and an indentured service for me.
And then once everything's in, all right, thanks. There's a bus over there. I'll get you somewhere you need to go.
Or that you don't need to go, just get out of here. But I mean, I could see that being
that
the issue. But
expensive.
But absolutely, no matter what, if you live in the same town as the place that you're moving to, if you're over 30 years old, you cannot ask friends to help you move. That's ridiculous. You either move it yourself or you hire movers to do it.
And they drove cross country with your stuff.
I hired movers. Yeah, that's what you do. You know, you hire these movers. They pack your stuff up. They put it into a semi truck with a whole bunch of other people's stuff who are moving all the way across country.
You got other people's mattresses in with your personal items? Things.
Yeah, well, that's not really the problem. The problem
personal
was
items. Like, there's a big vibrator drawer that everyone throws everything in.
Not that personal.
The problem was that they broke and lost a number of items.
Yeah, that's
the problem.
What did they break?
And that they broke my bed.
The Pee Wee Herman collector's cards are all gone now. They're all out of order.
How do you break a bed?
I'll tell you. It was a platform bed, so it had slats underneath, and I guess the guy couldn't figure out how the middle support piece went on, so he just disappeared it. So there is no middle support piece.
So he didn't break it, he just lost parts of it.
Well, now the slats are all breaking in the center because there's no middle support piece.
Man. So, all right. So you had a few items damaged. Is that the extent of the sadness from it? Or
then
it...
they brought me. No. Then they were missing two boxes, and then they called me to tell me that they found a box, and they brought it by. It's totally not mine. It's completely somebody else's box.
Did you keep
it? It's got my tag on it and everything.
Did you keep
it? It's still sitting here because...
What's in it?
Yeah, it's here, but...
What's in it? Open it.
I didn't open it.
Open
you
it.
Didn't open it?
Open it right now.
Tell us what is open in it. That.
Open the box.
But in all seriousness, I can't even imagine.
Let's guess what's in the box.
I can't believe that there's a...
I bet you there's a monkey. Well, there's a dead monkey in that box.
Dead monkey.
I bet you there's a dead monkey. $500 is a dead monkey in that box.
What?
You're not betting her $500.
I didn't want to open it. No, I didn't want to open it because I don't want whoever has my box to be opening it.
Vanessa,
so.
Well, they're not going to know by the time they get their box back.
Can I point something out to you? I hope to God that you have no undergarments in the box that's missing because they're already...
I'm not sure because I didn't unpack anything.
It doesn't,
so I don't even know what's missing.
It doesn't make a difference. Whenever it comes, whatever it is, burn it instantly. The minute it gets to the house, it's chock full of semen, blood, and vomit. I guarantee it.
Certainly if it came to my house, it would be.
It's the minute that you have... Oh, cool. What's in here? Before I even open the box, I already have half wood and I'm starting to jerk already. I'm going to do whatever I can to mark this as my territory, bleed in it.
I think there would be like a day or two where
I'm opening the box.
Exactly. Yes. There would be a day or two where I would be worried about maybe I shouldn't. This isn't mine. I'm not going to open the box. And then like Tuesday, the box is open.
The box is open the first day.
Point is, this is stuff that was packed by someone. Guess what? You can buy packing tape if you find some unmentionable in there that you don't
want.
It'd
be funny if it's her stuff, huh?
It's not my stuff.
It's that box of vibrators that I was talking about.
But if it's better stuff, you can just say, yeah, I found it.
But Vanessa, what if there's anthrax in that box?
Here's the other thing that they did try. They did try to give me furniture that wasn't mine.
Take it.
And I was starting to look at it and think that it was better furniture
there
than mine. So I was like, but they had already brought mine up. And so it was like... Like it was like another mattress.
Yes,
you know?
Of course I needed four beds for this one bedroom apartment. Obviously.
I'll take this king size bed mattress for my queen size frame.
Yeah, it was kind of like that.
That's
oh,
right.
Okay, so we've got CDs in here.
You got CDs? What
Ooh,
CDs?
Wait, yeah, exactly.
The very best of the Doobie Brothers?
Yeah, you know what?
I don't think you have to look any further into that box.
I was just going to say, there's nothing wrong with the fact that you opened that box. This person's a jerk. This person's an absolute jerk.
And it couldn't just be the best of the Doobie Brothers, because that would be like four CDs. It had to be the very best of the Doobie Brothers.
Obviously. I guarantee there's a Dave Matthews CD in there.
The 1974 Rock On collection, top 40 chart busters.
Oh, man. Like, this person's the best.
This guy's in the late 50s, 60s.
What's track number one of that 1974 Rock On collection? I really want to know.
Hooked on a Feeling. It's track one.
Good shotgun.
Yeah, Irish Curse
and
is suggesting.
Sweet Home Alabama is number two.
Obviously, Irish Curse is suggesting in the chat room. It's Freedom Rock, essentially, is what you got there. Congratulations. You're the proud owner of Freedom Rock now.
I don't want this.
What else is in there? Anything of any kind of value?
It's just a box of CDs?
It's CDs, and it looks like some weird, smelly candle holders.
Bugs.
Oh. Awesome.
Like the kind of, I can't believe somebody paid to move this stuff
across the country.
I don't know. They could have picked it up like along the way somewhere.
They picked it up. They could have picked it up anyplace wherever they dropped your stuff. Wherever they chucked your stuff.
I'm getting kind of grossed out.
Doobie Brothers.
Maybe one of the Doobie Brothers moved.
And candle holders. Ugh.
Open up one of the CD cases.
I have to wash my hands.
Open
now.
Up one of the CD cases and smell the inside.
Okay.
Just smell deeply inside.
No, I'm not.
Come on, I just
want to
know.
If you're a Doobie Brother, do you purchase your own best of CDs?
Open up the CD and
somebody has to.
And see if there's any seeds inside from somebody cleaning their weed inside of one of these things.
All right. What's the last good thing in the box?
Oh, Irish Curse is suggesting those aren't candle holders. They're cum jars, actually, that you just found. We'll taste it. Let's make sure. Let's just make sure.
No monkey, Vanessa?
No, there's no monkey.
Somebody owes you $500 next time he's in California.
A gun?
No, there's like... Airwick air freshener thing?
So this guy is
like,
a pot-smoking
pot-smoking farter who hangs out. He sprays his air freshener.
Candles, Doobie Brothers, and what was the last thing?
They're like those Airwick air fresheners, like the kind that you put on the wall and you push the button and like the smelly stuff sprays
It's for the type of person that needs their air freshened but doesn't have the time to spray.
It's for a medical marijuana place.
No. What?
I don't know. Do you think?
No.
It's for a medical marijuana place.
Maybe.
It's air fresheners and bad CDs.
Yeah, I'd figure you'd find a living
Doobie Brothers.
The Doobies. Come on.
Ugh.
What a horrible box.
I'm so grossed out that I opened it now.
Throw it out. Throw that box out. That box deserves to be thrown.
No, no, there's nothing worse
saving. I'm going to whip it directly into the street.
Meanwhile, someday there's a poor sucker with his buzz totally killed because he can't listen to Blackwater.
Yeah, but he's wearing one of Vanessa's thongs on his head, so he doesn't care. He's got a
small collection of dildos that he's never
had. Exactly, like he's absolutely loving life right now.
See, that's something that would drive me crazy, knowing that I don't have something and I don't know what that something is yet.
I don't know what the something is.
That would drive me nuts.
I don't know where the something is. It is driving me a little bit nuts.
I would unpack just for that.
I would think that would be the reason to not unpack, so you could not know. Everything is here someplace, and don't worry about it. I'm just especially thinking of it from a girl's perspective. I'm just imagining the idea of just your underwear being someplace else would bother the hell out of
you. I'm thinking shoes. I'm thinking that would, like, there's some guy with a foot fetish sniffing through your shoes right now. Working his way from the ankle to the toe, slowly.
So they overcharged me when I had a contract, and when they showed up to actually take the stuff, they were like, oh yeah, that's going to be like 50% more than what we quoted you.
Of course. That's how they get you.
But they don't say that until everything's on the truck. So then what are you going to do? Like, say like, okay, everything off that truck, and then, you know, they just dump it all out onto the curb. Like, what would I do then?
You suck at
them, I had to pay it. Yeah, so I had to suck it up and deal. So then they get it all the way over here, and I'm on the second floor, and it's like, oh, the first set of stairs is free, you know, like it's all included in your contract to go up to the second floor. So they get here, and he's like, yeah, I'm gonna have to count those stairs because I think that's more. So it was allowed to have 15 stairs. And I have 20 stairs. So I had to pay a whole other.
Well, you do also understand the first stairwell is 15 stairs. The second stairwell is one stair. So she actually, as far as they're concerned, she lives in a six-story building. She's in a six-story walk-up right now.
I think what I probably would have tried to make as clear as possible is that my tip is going to be previously advertised as, 50% less than it was going to be.
I said that, actually. Yeah. I said, you know, I'm not going to have any money left to tip you because I have to pay this stair thing. But then I realized that was his guaranteed tip anyway.
Yes.
So he didn't care. And the fee that he charged me for the stairs was probably, you know, more than they get tipped at most places.
How is that?
Especially for, like, single chick that, like, just has, you know, this small amount of stuff.
I don't understand what you mean by guaranteed tip.
He guaranteed his own tip. By telling you that this is what the price is, that's what his money is.
Okay.
This is what you're paying me right now. Not that this is what my company is charging you right now. This is what you're paying me. He just made his own tip.
So you essentially threatened him that you're not going to get a tip if you give me this extra.
She threatened him. Yeah. I'm not going to give you a tip. But what does he care? He's already bamboozled her. He's getting his money.
How did he react?
Cash, yeah.
How did he react to you saying that?
He's like, oh, well, we just have to go by the contract. I'm like, yeah, I'm sure you do.
Okay.
The contract also said to put my bed together.
And there's nothing in the contract that says that you're getting a tip, so F you.
Mover and shaker, moving.
I
get what you're saying. Yes, he's getting that, but I'm guessing that Vanessa also gave him a tip, even after doing this.
I did, but only because I felt bad for the other person. Like, there were two of them, and one of them was this obvious, like, you know, obviously the boss. And the other one is just the laborer.
The guy that actually moved.
Actually carried everything up here. Plus, he was really cute. So I felt obligated.
Oh, well, then it's okay. I get it. Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah.
Plus, he was really cute. It feels almost like Vanessa is giving in to that, to almost the strip bar mentality that guys get into. That was it. It was like the reverse. It was the shoe is finally on the other foot. Like, well, he's good looking. Let me give him my money for something that's not going to be, because he's cute.
And they also broke and lost a lot of her stuff.
Yeah.
Great. Perfect.
Let me give you some money.
Extra tip for your ass.
Actually, I was thinking at the time, I was like, you know, if we could maybe, like, do a trade on some services for this stair fee.
You would have done it?
He was cute enough that I might be okay with that. And then I was thinking about it even further, and I was like,
you know, if he called it like a $75 bang out tax, like I might have been, you know, I'm so hated.
You're selling yourself short.
I gotta tell that poor Canuck, no, don't move to California just yet.
Don't move yet.
She's got a couple things to work
exactly,
out.
Exactly, obviously. She's worried, she's negotiating bang out taxes.
What's that about?
Oh, no. Irish Curse suggests two BJs. That's 12 stairs. It's kind of the same thing.
Wow. Well, Vanessa, you do sound happy. Yeah, that's great. It's good to hear from you.
Yeah, despite the fact that it sounds like your move experience or dealing with the movers wasn't exactly pleasurable, although you do have a lot of new CDs, really quality products for your house now, it does sound like you do sound a lot happier. You sound like maybe this is the move for you and this was the place you're meant to be. Is that where you're feeling? Is that where you're at?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was a good move. I think I'm going to be happy.
Excellent, buddy. I hope you are happy. I hope you stay happy when you're checking in with your buddies here on Best in Show week in and week out.
Thank you very much. So just clarify for me, like real quick before I hang up, like 19 is too young for me? Yes, no? What do you think?
19? No, no, that's totally appropriate. That's fine.
Yeah.
I think, what is it? The cutoff is half your age plus 8 years.
Very good.
Vanessa's really not dating a 19-year-old.
Why wouldn't she be?
No. What are you talking to a 19-year-old about, Vanessa?
Well, it's 19.
American Idol?
What? It's 19 in California years.
Oh, God. So six. 6 year olds.
What would you conversate about a 19-year-old with? What would you talk to them about? You would really date a 19-year-old?
What?
He's adorable.
I don't know that I said anything about dating exactly.
He's adorable. He's adorable. They're going to hang out. And you don't talk when your mouth is full, so don't worry about
it. Oral was involved, but no words.
Just saying. Man. Vanessa, as always, a fantastic report, sort of ish. I don't know. Excellent, buddy. Thanks so much for letting us know. We'll talk to you next week.
All right.
Bye bye. Was that weird? Did I end that at the wrong time?
No,
I'm confused.
Was it weird?
Okay, now I did, because now the music's on. Show.
Entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
I vacationed in Fire Island. Are you familiar with Fire Island?
I can't say that I am. I've heard of it.
Fire Island is notoriously gay. Like it's the island itself is gay. It makes you gay.
It's like Lost, gay Lost.
It's like gay.
It's like Lost on Logo.
You became gay when you went to the island? I was sort of in the white trash section. In the section where it's kind of like, ew, we're not going to go there.
We're on vacation over here. We ain't going over on the other side over there. Those guys over there drink drinks with umbrellas in them. We're not going over there. Not going to do anything like that. We're staying over here. We're drinking our Miller. We're going to hang out. We're going to watch NASCAR. Faggot, come here. Kiss me.
By the way, I just wanted to be known that the analysis in the chat room, the Heroes Talking from Vanessa, it's where the gays go. Brixosaurus, gay men take young boys there. White-ass Brent, Fire Island is where the faggots hang out. Bruce Leo, no matter how much you try there, you can't be straight.
Wow.
This is Keith from Best in Show Radio. During the summer, the best way for you to wind down from a long day at the beach, the park, the PlayStation, or wherever it is you people with jobs go, is with your friends at Hear Us Talk. Join us every Tuesday night for the DJ New Style Show, live from 9 to 11. Thursday nights, catch Best in Show Radio, live from 8 to 11. And usher in your weekend with The What Show, Friday nights at 9:30, all times Eastern. Plus, on Wednesday nights, dim the lights and get your popcorn ready for 100K Presents. And remember some older moments on Monday nights with the Best in Show Radio Journey to the Past. All of this and more can be found at HearUsTalk.com and the Hear Us Talk Radio Room in Powtalk. And don't forget to check out our forums at RadioBronzeFans.com and get your hands on all the latest merchandise at HearUsTalk.Spreadshirt.com. All of this is brought to you by the Hear Us Talk Radio Network, the thing to do with your ears and the place to be.
Yeah. You know, it's crazy during that commercial thing there. At one point, I heard you say, this is Keith from Best in Show Radio. And I immediately went, hey, Keith. And like, I started to interact with you, the commercial person, because I need people to interact with. I'm obsessed with talking to people, hanging out with them with videos and computers and all this stuff.
Well, let me ask you something. I'm right here, so why couldn't you just talk to people when they're right in front of you?
I like computers. I think they're better.
You mean everyone's not always right in front of you in the same room?
I wish they would be. I wish they would be. You got any ideas how I can do something like that?
Well, let me see. I see you, Fred. I see you, Rob. Chris, I see you, too. Wait a second. I have an idea.
What's it?
ICU2.com.
ICU2.com. That's right. It's the video conferencing software that everyone wishes they were.
Exactly. That's why it's the People's Choice Award winner, because the people choose it. And people didn't only choose it to win an award, they chose it to use.
I legitimately just tried to say in a commercial, it's what everyone wants to be. Like, everyone wants to be this program, obviously. It's
they
so good.
Be ICU2. I'm having a chip installed tomorrow.
It's really great, though. You hang out, you talk, you just go to your Windows-based machine, go to ICU2.com, click on download, and get this crap. You're going to talk to people. You're going to look at their dumb faces and realize, wow, this is great.
Close up all those other IM windows. ICU2 will run them all for you. Yahoo.
F a pal talk. F a instant messenger. Just go straight to ICU2. That's all you need. It's you, your friends, talking. You can stop talking to commercials on internet radio shows.
You can broadcast to people, and you can say, you can see somebody come in the room and you don't like the looks of them. You know what? I don't want to broadcast my video to that person.
I call
that like a stalker.
I call that narrow casting. You narrow it down. You don't have to be so broad. It's good. It's ICU2. Go to ICU2.com. Check it out. It's the 2009 People's Choice Award for the best film. Best dramatic film, and it's really great.
It also won Best Internet Communication Software. It won two.
Excellent, excellent. Good for them. ICU2.
Come on!
I really had it in my head that was going to be the big commercial. We were going to show what real hucksters we were and our ability to really go out there and
chops.
Chill.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah, we don't got them. Like Keith does. I just sucked it up for you. But you know who has them? Who has all the chops all the time? It's Brian. What's up, buddy?
Ugh. Wow, I don't know about that. But I will say I've got something on my mind. I've got something that I've had on my mind for quite some time and have been trying to figure out a way to bring it up, to work it into conversation in here, and it's just never going to happen. So I'm going to hammer right through it. Sometimes when I drink, I come up with these great ideas that I need to impart upon the world that sound a little crazy at first, but I'm hoping like once it settles in, you know, it's a new worldview. It's a new hypothesis, maybe a new thing that people could latch on to. And one of the latest things I've been concerned about is overpopulation, the growing numbers of people on this planet that are choking it to death. We're running out of natural resources. It seems, statistically speaking, the math is really kind of pushing us towards an ultimate end. There's a concept called an extinction level event, where when there's too much of one kind of species in the world, something big happens, and the world sort of takes care of that. And
something big. ICU2.com. Yeah. Get it today. Something big.
Oh, we're still in that?
No, I thought that was what you were talking about. I'm sorry, I got confused for a minute.
I agree with Brian. I think population in the next 10 to 20 years will be the new global warming.
Is Brian trying to tell
us that'll be the new thing that everyone's on?
Is Brian trying to tell us he's been coughing up germs to get rid of the five of us?
Yeah, doing my part.
He's personally trying to disease the world. He's doing everything he can to spread his disease.
But I agree with you, Brian. I agree that is something that we're going to have to face, and it's going to be a crazy thing.
An extinction level event has happened in the past. When like there's a sharp decrease in like the number of a certain species, and it usually happens when like the biosphere has been going through a long term stress, and it's sort of bracketed by like a short term sort of blip or a punch. So it's not like the asteroid that pounds into the side of the Earth that will cause the dinosaurs to go away. It's something that's been going on for generations prior to that really kind of results in that. And I think we're there. We're on our way. We're slowly stressing for quite some time now, for many generations, and it's only getting worse. And I think the only way to save humanity, to make sure that our numbers aren't so radically dwindled, and we
have the baggage too.
What?
And we can move on to what the hell was that? And we can continue to exist in the future, is if we feasibly come up with a way to control our numbers. And, I mean, there's China has tried to do that with population control, with you know, the single child laws, and people try to do it with educating their population with birth control tactics and so on and so forth. And I just I'm not so sure that it certainly hasn't been proven that that's statistically acceptable. It doesn't work. It shouldn't work. It's in our nature to try to propagate our species. We're any attempt to try to make us not make more babies is going to fail miserably. It's just going to happen. We're going to make more and more babies. So I think we have to come out up with a different way to sort of take care of the problem at the other end, at the death end of the spectrum. And I'm thinking the problem is really a result of the fact that we have no natural predators. We've got nothing. There's nothing controlling our population.
Please tell me you're suggesting that we let lions out into public. That's what you're talking about here. More zoos. Just let wild animals.
It's gonna be like Jurassic Park in here. He's going to start opening up the cages on everything.
Wait a minute.
If we had
stopping music, Jeff is just going to yell at all of us all the time. It's going to be like Jurassic Park. Sorry.
If we had a natural predator like that, that would be if dinosaurs or lions were in a population large enough that we would be able to control us, or that we would let control us. That might be a feasible solution. But, I mean, I just don't – I think we'll –
So wait. Seriously, you're leaning towards trying to find a way to make living more dangerous so people don't stay around as long?
Well,
is that really where you're going?
This is how we control populations of species ourselves. Like, we go in and we decide that the bear population is too large. So
a grizzly bear in every neighborhood.
So we will extend the grizzly bear hunting season so that we can kill more grizzly bears. We're doing this in an educated – we don't do it because we hate grizzly bears. We're doing it to save the grizzly bears.
Barb brings up a tremendous point in the Heroes Talk chat room. Disease is our predator.
Well, disease has got to get better because disease isn't working.
And natural
enough.
Disasters. I mean, there was a tsunami just a couple of years ago, 100,000 people wiped out.
Right.
You know?
And how many millions were born this year? Yeah. It's not enough. We need something that's killing us faster. We need something that needs to – and if a lion is our natural predator, it doesn't seem like that's going to work either because we've already shown that we're smart enough. We won't let the lions eat us. We'll figure out a way to keep
them
from eating
us. I insist that we load the streets with lions. I think that's the way to do this. I want a lion.
Can you start
I want a lion
Park Slope?
I want a lion in every home. I want a lion in every home. No, it's like no child left behind. I want no lion left behind. I want one lion in every person's house.
I think if that happened, we'd come up with a way to make sure that the lions aren't killed. We'd kill more lions.
We'd have adorable pets. We'd have very adorable macho pets in our house.
I think that us being at the top of the food chain, whether it be intelligence or use of tools or whatever, forces us to consider the actual possibility. Sounds like someone else has an idea.
Joining us on the hottest of all lines here on Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. Who's this?
This is DJ Newstyle from New Jersey.
Hi, DJ Newstyle from New Jersey. How are you, my friend?
I'm very good. Brian, you're out of your mind, but you're onto something. Uh-huh. We need to control our numbers, and China's limitation of having children is almost correct. I think it's almost correct.
It's not working.
To perfect it, if you have more than one child, on their fifth birthday, you have to pit the newest child against the oldest child in a battle to the death.
No.
That way, the best child wins, and then you only have one.
Survival of the fittest.
And it slows the growth, and it's awesome TV.
Yep.
DJ Newstyle, can I suggest that this battle of the children that happens in a pit, that there could be a lion there? Could there be a lion involved as well? Will the lion eat the child that loses?
You just want lions.
Replace teachers. Sorry, Fred. With lions.
Well, I mean, the point with China, if you watch statistically, I mean, it hasn't stabilized. Population growth for them hasn't changed, and it's not because they're not doing outrageous things to control their or to enforce their single child laws.
Rid of their kids. They're using them as a national export.
Yeah. And they're killing their kids too. If their first kids aren't they wanted a boy, they got a girl, they'll murder the girl and, you know, kind of keep it under wraps. There's horrifying things that are happening, and still the numbers are growing. Even if you just
say they're not doing a good enough job. That's why the numbers are growing.
I think
in the octagon. Two fifth graders in an octagon fighting for which one gets to keep the family's last name. That's the best thing I could ever imagine.
I think it's a losing battle. Even if you do that successfully.
Only for one of them.
Even if you do that successfully, you're still going...
Only for the one that we call lion bait now.
You're still going to have an increase in population. It's our nature. It's in our nature to make babies. It's anything that you do to try to control that is going to probably fail because it's just natural. I say control at the other.
Here's an idea. Make making babies feel bad. Find a way, a female circumcision, and destroy men's genitals.
You mean
do it in such a way that to actual bang, actually it hurts. That's the only way that you're going to do it.
You could laminate the inner vaginal walls with gravel. That would be very painful.
Make it unpleasant.
Oh, okay. Brian, here's your solution.
I have the solution. You guys just haven't told
me. Nanomachines, Brian. Nanomachines. Bye.
I think I figured the solution out. I just haven't gotten there yet.
Well,
ready?
Okay, go ahead.
The solution is to control it on the other end. We need a natural predator. And because there's going to be no natural predator good enough to be able to beat us, we have to become our own natural predator. We have to start.
I love that movie.
We have to start. And predators don't kill.
I'll be back. I know. It's cool.
So
right?
You're coming up with a way to give you control to kill people.
No, not me control. And it's not about killing people because predators don't go out to kill other things so that they can feel superior. They go out to kill things so that they can feed.
You'll use the whole human. Like you make purses out of the skin and eat the meat.
I use their urine as for scent.
We should
the human urine for scent.
We should reconsider maybe the ethical nature of cannibalism. Maybe it should be okay for us to start eating each other. And no, I don't think that, you know, it should be decided that this person is okay for eating and cannibalization and this one is not. It's survival of the fittest. It all holds barred. It's got to be ethically all right to start killing each other and eating each other. And if we don't do that, we're all going to die. If we don't start killing and eating each other, we are going to die. There's no civilization. There's no future for the human race unless we start eating and killing each other.
Sheepy says it best in the Heroes Talk Room. Brian is a reapist. That's what you are.
I have never reaped anybody.
But wait, why do we have to eat? Why wouldn't you just approve of killing people? Why do they have to be eaten?
Because, like, then, okay, I guess the nature of if you're just – there has to be a use. There has to be a drive, some sort of ethical need behind the killing. Just going out and killing random people is going to eventually divert into, no, only the bad people can be elected for murder and – so on and so forth. And it's also recycling. Like, you can use people are good.
How about instead of using gasoline, we use human blood to drive our cars?
Assoline.
See?
You take people's asses and put them in your car and turn that into some sort of fuel.
You're thinking.
Because humans, they're a natural, you know, you make humans into a natural resource.
The danger in our, like, capitalist society is that, you know, branding and people farming, this could kind of divert into some sort of
farming.
You know what? Now you're talking. Listen, I don't see the brothers are going to eat each other. The white crazy white people will, but the brothers will not eat each other.
Then maybe the crazy white people don't shouldn't be running the earth. Maybe with this survival of the fittest concept, maybe they'll get eaten. Maybe the weaker part of our race will be weeded out or crapped out, as it might be. You know?
Lay it on the line. What is the move? How are you doing this? What is the hierarchy of your plan for how we are going to kill and harvest and use each other in the ways that
I'm thinking chaos. I'm thinking there can't be.
So you have a plan for chaos.
Yes.
I like it. I like the idea. I like how you think.
We have to decriminalize. We have to make it make it ethical to eat each other. First of all,
I have a 6-point plan for anarchy when he's done.
We got to decriminalize murder, I suppose, right off the bat somehow. Which means, I mean, there's no more thou shalt not kill. We got to get rid of the Judeo-Christian
thou shalt not kill has nothing to do with criminalization. That's
oh yeah,
no,
sure.
It's not.
Well, that's I'm sure where we're getting.
Dude, you are so hung up in thinking that Christians run everything on earth.
Not just Christian, the Jews and the Muslims, they run things on earth too. I don't know. I mean, it sounds ridiculous. And I know it does.
No, it doesn't. No.
There are many things about this that goes wrong. I mean, in all honesty, modern progress comes to a halt. Like, there's no – if I'm worried that I'm going to walk around the street and get attacked and eaten, I'm not going to go to work and figure out the better mousetrap. Not that I really am now. But, I mean, no one's going to be making pretty little video games for me because –
But this sounds like a video game. That's the – it sounds like people are going around, walking around, killing people and eating.
You'll satiate all your first-person shooter needs.
I might be Brian, a good survivor.
You'd get a platinum trophy in this world, wouldn't you?
Maybe.
So Brian was playing Silent Hill and said, Soylent Hill.
Look, it sounds silly. It's –
TJ Newsom, maybe unemployment is our new predator. Brian ran out of money and you've ended up homeless. There it is. There's the predator.
That's sir, I would bet a homeless person who wasn't making a lot would be an easier target than a person who is locked behind a home somewhere. I bet you, you know, me and my folly of not getting a job would probably be...
You would eat a homeless person?
I mean... It's hard for me to say because I'm so saturated in my environment that I don't know if I could eat a person or not. But, I mean, it seems like it's the right thing to do. It seems like it's the net.
Stop. Think about the fact that you just said, maybe I should eat a person. It seems like the right thing to
not
do.
Not a person. Really, a homeless person.
Really think about the fact that it seems like the right thing to do.
It seems like, yes, it's hard for me to quote, choke this down. But yes, it's so foreign to our way of life right now. But what we're doing to ourselves, forget about the planet. The planet is going to shake us off like a bad cold, you know, many generations from now when we're blighted off the side of the planet by the extinction level event, don't worry about the planet. Planet's going to be fine. We're killing ourselves. We are choking ourselves to death. And if we don't come up with a solution.
We are killing ourselves by not killing each other. Yes. I'm with you. I'm with you.
So just let everyone live now and then everyone dies off at once.
By not killing each other right now, that's what you're saying. You're saying screw future generations. They'll end up dying.
Trying to figure out any other possible way to do it isn't reasonable. It makes more sense to just start killing each other now.
It hasn't been working.
Don't wait till tomorrow and try and figure out a way to live for another day. Let's just start killing each other
today. It hasn't been working. Figure out another way. Propose some other ideas and let's see if we can make it work.
I'm not purporting that today I have the answer for how we're not going to overpopulate and destroy our world, but I am proposing that I'm not going to kill someone today. And I'm not going to suggest that killing other people today is a good idea. I think it's asinine. I think it's ridiculous.
I think you got to start thinking outside of the box.
I'll give 110%, but I'm not going to think outside the box.
You got to give it your all.
Taco
you
Bell. Think outside the bun. We turn Taco and his entire family into food.
Look, or we get a natural predator. We find
lions.
Someone smarter.
Lions.
Get an alien in here. Start killing and eating us. That's what we need.
Joining us on the hottest of all lines here on Best in Show, bestshowradio.com. I hope you have a predator that you could let loose on Brian right now. Who's this?
Shippy.
Hey, what's going on, buddy? How are you?
I'm okay. I gotta drop some truth about eating people.
Okay.
You can't eat people.
Oh. Okay.
If an animal eats its own species, then all the chromosomes get all screwed up, and then it breaks down your brain, and you go crazy. That's why cannibalist tribes are like kind of crazy, savage people, and also that's what mad cows.
I was going to say, I did hear that there was something to that from mad cow, but I don't know all the details of it.
I've often heard this argument used with the whole mad cow craze, and then yes, that is sort of transposed or extrapolated, but it's not. I mean, mad cow disease is not coming from the fact that cows are eating cows. I mean,
No, it's related.
First of all,
people can't eat people. Look it up.
look it up.
I'm going to say Sheepy says it, I believe it. That settles it. That's the way I look at it.
Cows who were vegetarians, we were being fed cow brains by, you know, we were processing up their brains into...
By
like,
other
into
zombie
meal.
Cows.
No, by humans.
Because honestly, what cow would eat a cow brain other than a zombie cow?
Humans were doing it to them. Because it's okay when humans do it to other species. It's just not okay when we do it to ourselves, apparently.
No, it's not okay to do that either. That's why you shouldn't be eating meat either.
Yes, right. But, I mean, and a very small percentage of these cows, as a result of this weird feeding thing that we were doing, where all kinds of weird crap was happening, and immediately the cannibalism thing was latched onto as the cause, and it went out there. And I think there's been a lot of scientific backing to it now that said, yeah, that was just kind of hysteria, and that's not real. Other animal members of the animal kingdom do feed on their own regularly, and it doesn't result in like any bizarre kind of chromosome weirdness. It's not usual because like the sociological aspect of it is that they don't need to. There's other predators that are eating them. It would be against the Darwinian nature to be killing themselves, but we don't have that excuse. We need someone to kill us.
By the way, Irish Curse has it the best in the Pal Talk room. The new Best in Show shirt coming out soon. Stop death, kill someone today. It's the new Best in Show shirt. That's the greatest idea I've ever heard in my life.
That's the only way. Murder and cannibalism is the only way that we're going to save ourselves. And maybe not us, but save our great-great-grandchildren. If that doesn't happen,
Can't we just sterilize drinking water for a little while?
Brian, run for office, man. You get on that campaign, people will be
no,
all
wait,
for
if
it.
You sterilize drinking water, there's so many idiots who drink nothing but soda.
Oh, Diet Coke is so good, though.
Sterilize vodka.
No, I like vodka.
I bet if you sterilized alcohol, there'd be a lot less births in the first place.
I didn't think this was possible, but I think Brian's a little crazier than I thought he was.
Look, man, I don't have it all worked out. The whole idea is with like
bother working it out. Just start killing. Just start killing now. Let it all get sorted out later.
See,
let God sort it out.
You're having a problem with the ethical nature of it. Like, right. No murder is wrong. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm willing to concede that right now murder is wrong.
I feel so much better that you've conceded.
But murder doesn't necessarily need to be wrong. Maybe there's something that can happen that wouldn't make murder incorrect or not.
Mm-hmm. Well, what could that be?
I don't know. Well, I don't know yet. That's what I'm trying to think it through. But the question is, what would be the result?
So basically, when Hitler was killing to strengthen the race, then basically he had the right idea. He was just a little
ish. Right, the idea ish.
He should, if he was okay with killing everybody, I think I might have been on board with him. I would have backed up Hitler if he wasn't just killing the Jews and the blacks and the homosexuals and the Catholics
and the gypsies.
If he was killing everyone, I might have been a Nazi.
Well, Chris, you don't think it's right to kill to save a species? Say if we had to kill to save the human species. On Earth, do you think that's right? Would you?
One, I don't think we're at the point that we can
hypothetically.
I don't think we're at the point that we can intelligently make that supposition at this point. If you were to tell me that, see, I don't know, because I could not. I'm telling you that if you put a gun in my hand and tell me I have to kill this person, so something else
you have
could
to
go
kill
on.
This person or a bus full of children are going to die, but you have to kill this person. I mean, you're killing the person. You're killing one to save many.
Killing in person?
Yeah.
Killing and eating thousands of us now will save millions of us generations down the road. And it will feed your children. Your child would eat.
But wouldn't you be see, you don't have any concern about people in
the
world that you don't
Brian
want to see
them die. I think Brian is a V-alien.
You know what? I think that you might have a point. He's actually trying to plant seeds in us to try and get us to go against each other so they can take over the entire place. Sheep's got a great point.
I know this is a radical proposal, and it would
more tubular.
And it would be hard to kind of just – this isn't like a wake up overnight and start eating your mother. I mean, this is going to take a little while. This is going
to
be a lot –
You'd have to marinate her to make her edible.
There's a lot of changes that would have to happen.
Who would you eat first? Who's on your list? Top 20 list. Who's in your top 5 of your list? Where are you going?
If I was true to this whole movement, I would probably start walking the streets and then look for the person that I could kill
Uptown.
Easiest. No. No. I guess I would go out for the easiest prey that I could find.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it's going to be little children, basically.
Or an elderly lady.
That's who the easiest prey is going to be.
Maybe.
The meat's either going to be too ripe or not ripe enough.
Well, I'm thinking, yeah, there would be taste. Would be an issue, I suppose. But that comes with, I mean, I just have to learn how to cook them.
I would go with baby meat first.
No, yeah. I mean, there's a lot to get over. Being able to kill another human being in our state of mind right now, that's tough.
Think
being
about,
able to do it to a child,
think about
that's
the
even 80s. Tougher.
Think about going back to the 80s when there was all starvation and
crack.
Famine in Africa, and you were thinking, feed the children? No, feed off the children. That's the new slogan.
So Live Aid caused this problem.
Exactly.
I don't know. Gildoff.
I mean, there's,
son of a bitch.
I got problems because it would halt all kinds of progress, like any kinds of art, architecture, medical, any advances in science pretty much come to a halt. Like nothing would happen anymore in technology.
A question is being posed. It's going on here. You know, the world's coming to an end, and Barb suggests that, okay, we're trapped in Giggs' basement. And Barb asks, which one of the Best in Show guys would you eat first?
Well, I mean, that I'd have to figure out who I could kill first.
Fred just yelled from the other room, who's the easiest kill? I'm going to guess the one who's going to the bathroom during the show and not paying attention. He's going to be the easiest one to kill, so I say Fred.
There's actually a real good logical answer. You'd have to figure this one out.
For me, I'd probably go for Fred or Keith.
Why's that?
because it seems like they'd be one of the least challenging kill.
See, now you're wrong. You'd have to go for me first because I have more risk to lose because I have loved ones upstairs.
Which means that you would fight harder.
And if you're going to go ahead and try killing somebody else, I'm going to go after you and you're going to be dead.
What?
See, like, whoa. We're asking Brian who he would choose to kill and eat first of the five of us.
Yeah, but as it's happening, we're not frozen in time.
We're not talking about what are you going to do in the middle of it. We're giving him the choice of who of the five is he choosing. And then you're not getting to throw the corkscrew and say, oh, yeah, well, while you're killing him, I'm hitting you from behind, not eating
but
you.
But wait, I guess I just don't understand what he's saying. Like, I wouldn't.
But you're still putting it the easiest first, the easiest to digest or to,
no, no,
like
the
a
easiest
one-on-one
to
battle?
Like, okay. I'd have to kill somebody.
Like a one-on-one battle.
And it's not. It's got to. I mean, I assume everyone's going to fight for their lives. Like, this
you really
is not
think
gonna
you're
be...
going to kill me and eat?
All right. So how are you going to do
I'm
it?
I'm going to kill you or eat. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. But it's certainly going to be easier than trying to kill and eat him or him.
I'm going to tell
I'm
you
not
this.
Trying
Keith,
to give you a
no disrespect. I would bet that you're going to have the most tender meat. I'm going to guess your muscles.
Oh, I'll taste
your
the best.
Muscles have not been used in years. They're going to be so delicious. You're like a veal. It's going to be so delicious. You're going to melt into my mouth.
I'll taste it. The best. But if you're going to fight, you got to go with vegetable strength.
True.
Well, I'm thinking Keith is not even going to put up a fight. He has no job. He really has
He'll just let
for.
It go. Well, Crazy Monk brought up a question. Since Brian is bringing up the option, like, would he volunteer to go first? And I think that's sort of the nature of that I'm speaking against. This should be sort of Darwinian. It should be a survival. It's not a volunteer to die kind of thing. It's not, I'm going to do something for – you're still trying to serve yourself. For lack of a better word.
You had to do the corny laugh at yourself. You're the worst. You're the worst.
Sorry. No, you're not trying to die. I mean, you're saving the world by killing and eating people, but like you don't want to die doing it. So, yeah, you're not going to volunteer your body to someone.
So, Sheepy, is Brian onto something? You think he's onto something? No, is he still on?
No, actually.
He's eating.
Sheepy said he's disgusted with the idea so much so that he couldn't be on this phone anymore. He's disgusted. By the way, Sheepy, you can catch him tomorrow night here on Heroes Talk on the What Show. What? 9:30 p.m. here on Heroes Talk. By the way, Sheepy would be delicious. Absolutely delicious. I would imagine that he's got a real creamy
taste. Would
that
be considered haggis?
Don't call him a hag. Come on.
It's mean. I don't know. I couldn't. I would guess that
Brian's crazy.
No. That goes out of question. No, I was trying to figure out which one of you guys I would go for the eat first. I really do think that Keith would be the most delicious. I think that's the only reason why.
Oh yeah, I would definitely taste the best. That's
well, you know.
It's the murder.
But
part.
I love too many people to let any of you douches eat
right.
me. If I didn't have any loved ones, then like I'd be like, well, how much?
Oh, I don't know. Should I live
for 3 months?
It's not a matter of volunteering. I think the idea behind Brian's idea here is that he's going to be killed. He's becoming a predator.
Yeah, I'm saying I'm not going to let him beat me.
No, I certainly wouldn't ask for you to let him. I'm just trying to pick out.
You think
who's
that if you and Brian are in a fight to the death, you think you win?
To the death?
Yeah, to the death.
Yeah, I'm not letting him kill me.
But it was a fight to the knockout. You would.
If it was like a fight, I don't know. I feel like Brian has good fighting skills, but I don't know.
And you think those skills will subside because it's death, or that you'll get super strength
to the death? I would try to kill him.
Yeah,
obviously,
and I may kill him first, you know. But I'm not gonna like if it's like, you guys have a fist fight. It's like, all right, I'm gonna snap his neck.
Yeah. But you think he has the fighting skills? I mean, you got to logistically think about it.
Skills. I don't know if he has
that killer instinct,
but with no.
And then lucky
he has it for PS3. It's good.
Then lucky strikes. All I have to do is keep backing up 5 feet, and he's passed out.
Look, I didn't pick Keith and Fred because they were easy by any stretch of the imagination. As I looked at the five people in the room, and I started thinking, you know, would it be easier to kill Rob or Chris?
I think Rob's sitting in the corner saying, "Maybe I should just eat them all tonight."
Yeah, I don't think I could. I don't think I have the ability to kill Rob.
I think you have the ability to
fair.
Kill everybody because you actually think about this stuff. See, that's the difference. We have to like.
So
put
it's
ourselves...
the murder part that's stopping you.
You have an internal murder. If tomorrow they said, "Dude, you have to do this," I think your craziness inside your head could follow out a task. Like,
if in order for me to live would be to kill you, maybe I could kill you.
Where other people have to like really go against it, going, "Wow, I have to kill," and you could just turn it right off and go, "All right,
like
I'm killing."
It right off.
I'm
not suggesting that I am that inhuman or unthoughtful that it
we
would
are.
Be easy for me to emotionally kill someone because, I don't think
I think it would be you'd be hard pressed to ask anyone currently living on this planet to just change and be okay with murder. But
I think to control the population, what you are saying is actually ludicrous. I mean, it's never going to happen. What I think is people have to get licenses to have children and are like they're like can't have children, and then there's something
if you fail your road test, they castrate you.
Well, I'm saying castration at birth and then put it back on. Like something that blocks it from happening until you get your license. Like the whole thing of we have to
change. Dude, I would fail that road test over and over again so I can keep doing it. Over and over again. Like show that I know how to bang.
Wait, so you're saying sterilize someone until they have a license?
I'm saying sterilize everyone until they have a license to have a child. And we have to stop thinking now that like childbirth is something that everyone can do. That it's a human right that I have. Okay. That should not be. Like, I don't think people having babies should be.
I really think what you're saying sounds, I guess, more ethical, but crazy factor, if you really think
Still
about
crazy.
It, trying to maintain population control at the birth level sounds asinine as opposed to the death level. Every other species on the planet, even our own, when we were coming up into our own, has dealt with this problem by killing themselves more or being killed more. Like, death seems to be the way – that's the way you control a population. Hunters know it. We know that. That's
how about just letting out another plague? How about somebody just creating another virus that wipes out half the population?
That's
we
that
don't have
extinction
enough of those?
Level event that'll happen.
Joining us on the hottest of all lines here on Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. Who's this?
This is Keith Fu. What's going up, guys?
What's going on, buddy? How are you?
I'm pretty good. I just want to made a comment here. I missed most of the show. I just got home. Turned on the computer, and I was actually kind of like looking forward to hearing in. I tune in, and it's basically Brian just going on some crazy tangent again. And I just got to say, it's kind of funny. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, so shocking, right? It's weird. You would have never expected anything like that. I know.
Well, it's only about 10:15, so it's about time. It's a little bit early for the game show, but it's funny. It's funny, and I come in here, and Brian is doing his best to make some kind of crazy point that has a kernel of truth, and you can kind
of
understand
you heard it.
What he's trying to get at, but no.
Yes.
That's all I want to say. I just saying thanks, guys. Thanks for being there.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. With Brian's kernel of truth, he's trying to pop a popcorn, like a barrel full of popcorn here and getting us to kill each other.
That was my boss, by the way. Just wanted to clarify. No, and he has...
See, Keith, it doesn't make a difference what you do on the internet. Your boss won't care.
But the boss that fired Brian, so...
he tried to fire him, but now he hears that he's killing everybody. So, no, yeah, come back in. I got some work for you this week.
That way he doesn't have to fire anyone else. Brian could just eat them all.
In our current society, the way our ethical drive, it's monstrous to suggest what I'm suggesting. I don't think that it's possible without a radical change in the way that we think. It's not going to happen before that.
So basically you're suggesting a new type of fantasy like socialism.
I don't know if I don't know if any economic system is going to kind of change. We need to rethink our ethics in order to make it work better with the planet.
Well, to start, we have a Democrat in the office, right? So we'll see where it goes.
I'm DJ Newstyle suggesting in the chat room that that he's concluded that Brian has a bloodlust, and all you're doing at this point is trying to justify what you are just about to do. Don't worry, DJ Newstyle. We are taking this a tape of this show and bringing it straight to the police, so this is all documented, and we all know in advance what Brian laid his plan out in advance.
Brian,
absolutely. Brian, 100%.
Survival of the fittest.
That's how cults begin, right? What Brian's suggesting right now?
I can't imagine that he can get two people to agree with him right now and march down the street with him.
I disagree. I bet you he could get thousands of people to
You guys still haven't disagreed with me. You're just still harping on the fact no murder's wrong. You haven't given me a reason why. You haven't assembled an argument against me.
Because the argument is to take life from someone, to impose your will on someone else, to take their life is the
selfish act.
It's not selfishness doesn't mean anything because there's tons of selfish acts that happen on a daily basis that aren't a problem. Per se, or a punishable offense, per se. I'm saying to there's nothing, the basic rule of existence, as far as I can tell, is to do the right thing, to do the right thing as best as you can.
But not even that, to take life for the sake of preventing other people from dying in the future, what's the difference? You're basically, you're on a time hang up now. You're saying that those future generations are more important than the current people.
Well, maybe, I guess what I'm suggesting is that we've manufactured this sort of concept of what's right and wrong. Perhaps we're fighting our own natural tendencies to kill each other. And through modernization and through religion and through ethical dogma and everything.
May I suggest that you're not fighting hard enough? You're not fighting hard enough because this is not the first time that you're bringing this up.
Well, I'm sorry, what?
You're not fighting that urge to kill hard enough if you're starting to rationalize it.
No, I'm saying us as a society has been able to. You, Chris, as a vegetarian, when you start saying that, you know, it's wrong to kill, can be somewhat logically backed up by the fact that you also propose that it's wrong for humans to kill animals.
Right.
But for some reason, I'm only guessing at this point, you think it's okay for animals to kill animals, for example. Like, it's okay for an animal feed on an animal.
I think that animals do not have the same consciousness and moral barometer or thermometer that we have.
Well, and I also think it's not very feasible to try to stop that from happening anyway.
No, because it's a natural event. It's the way that species will be able to survive. And it's the way that they're controlling the population down their food chain. It just happens to be that we're at the top of our food chain, that we've got no control. And yeah, through decades of science and ethics and morality, we've maybe fooled ourselves to thinking that we're better than the animal kingdom.
I got what you're saying. Top of the food chain, kid. It's Best in Show. Best in Show Radio here on Hear Us Talk. Thing you do with your ears. Place to be. Son.
You're listening to Best in Show on HearUsTalk.com. The thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
I just said that, Chris.
You're listening to Best in Show Radio on HearUsTalk.com. Join us every Friday night for The What Show.
Half of my bosses are women to begin with. I'm not working for men. Second of all,
thank you,
I don't get anybody drinks. Nobody does that anymore.
All right, what are you getting, donuts, bagels?
No! Catering people come in and bring that in.
All right, you're planning meetings, you're taking notes, right?
I make sure the meeting runs. I make sure people stay on topic, stay on time.
Slave.
No. There's nobody there to make sure everything stays on topic. The meeting goes to shit. So I'm driving the meeting and making sure all the points are made.
At what point, though, do you rub his temples and feet? Slave.
Never. Never.
Liar.
Can I tell you something? At least where I work, nobody would ever dare to ask me to get them coffee or to ask me to get them lunch. Like, I've done it for people.
Yeah.
I've offered.
Ah, see, there you go.
I've offered. I've said, I'm running out for a coffee. Do you want one? No one ever say, like, go get me my coffee. Ever.
If you were a real man, your wife wouldn't have to work. So if you want to revert to the...
She doesn't have to
no,
work.
No, she does. She
no,
does
she
because you want to eat lobster and fucking brag about it and call
insurance.
All your friends.
So you were saying that to just... get on the same page with him, right?
Yes.
That didn't have
no,
to
exactly.
do with me.
No, I'm just saying
you're
that
you're talking
to
Jeff in ways he can understand.
Yes, because he's right, being ridiculous to Missy.
If that was to me,
and
I was
the point is,
hold on,
is if you want to pretend that you want to live in
a
society where Missy's a slave to men, then you are a half a man because your wife has to go out and work. Mm-hmm. If you were a real man, you would support the household and she would be
support,
able to stay
I can
home.
Support our household on my income.
No, you can't.
She wants to feel functional.
It's
too bad you're eating. Habits
first of
part
all,
of the
I will.
Household
she wants to feel functional.
First of all, I will.
And,
never, I don't feel functional. I have a job. You make it sound like I'm some fucking.
It's not a hobby.
I'm
not out feeding.
No,
I
understand that. But
and then you make it seem like it's retarded that they involve me in meetings, even though
if
I'm
this
just
was
an assistant. But the reason they involve me in the meetings, even though I'm just an assistant, is because they value me as a part of this.
3,000 years ago, Missy, you'd be building the pyramids.
Didn't the Jews build the pyramids?
The What Show is live every Friday night, 9:30 p.m. Eastern on HearUsTalk.com. The thing to do with your ears and the place to be.
Awesome. It's Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. What show are we? What's going on?
Man,
That Watch Show promo really just makes me feel so comfortable. I can't wait for more of that comfortableness tomorrow night here on Heroes Talk. Every Tuesday night, I get very comfortable with my friend DJ Newstyle and his friend Germ Freak. It's really good. Every Wednesday, by the way, it's a movie night. We have a good time here. We're calling it 100K Presents. I don't know what we're calling it in the future. Our buddy Crazy Monk's been running some movies for us, and it's going to be an enjoyable little party we have every Wednesday. Just hang out, you know?
I call it Crazy Monk Presents.
I think it should be 100 Crazy Monk Presents or something like
100
that.
100 Crazy Monks and counting.
Actually, just 100 Crazy Monks should be the name of
Walk
the
into a bar.
Nice.
Well, this week, I've had a tough week this week. I've been having a tough week because for the past couple of days, my wife has left me. We haven't got divorced. It's not a divorce. She's actually, she left and went.
Before you say anything else, I just want to give Fred the award
such
today for telling one story and then reversing it a minute later. I've been looking for a job. I mean, I have one already, was the early one. My wife has left me for a few days to go to the supermarket. You son of a bitch.
He's practicing to be a news person, you know, like the headline.
More news at 11. My wife left me.
Will this new disease kill the entire world tonight? It's called Brian. We'll see you at 11.
Well, my wife told me that she was going away for the week because she was doing she was away on business. She had a couple of
naughty business
things to do in New Hampshire.
What?
Not naughty business. No, it's strictly professional. Strictly professional business.
Sorry.
Oh, she gets paid?
Yeah.
Come on.
Terrible.
And I was like, all right, you know, no big deal. You know, she's going away for the week. I have known my wife now for 6 years, and we've never been away apart from each other.
You're saying no big deal, like oh, you'll be able to tolerate it?
I was thinking, my thing is, all right, go away. You know, we'll talk on the phone every night. It'll be fine. You know, it'll be cool. It's just a week, 7 days. And for these past 3 days, man, I have really – and she's not listening. So, you know, this is not – I'm not buttering her up or anything. I really, really – miss my wife. I really do.
Aww,
like,
adorable.
It's really, I didn't think I was going to miss
what
it.
What day
number
are you in now?
3.
And how many
Four more to go.
Four more to go, huh?
And I really miss her. Like, I can't sleep at night now. Like, I've been, I wake up in the middle of the night. I can't sleep. I can't eat.
Are you kidding?
I swear to God, I haven't had fret time. Three days have gone by. Listen, when my wife is home, I have fret time. 2, maybe 3 times a day.
I thought the story was going to be that you rented like 8 TVs and hooked them up to all different like races and genders and scenarios and stuff.
I'm in a state of shock right now. I'm legitimately in a state of shock. Oh, your girl left for she went on vacation.
Yes.
And you can't function because someone went away on vacation.
Oh, it's not that I can't function. I'm functioning differently. Well, I'm sorry, Keith. Go on.
No, I was going to say, I could totally see where he's at. I think I would feel like that. I know I would definitely feel like that, too. I just specifically thought you personally were going to have – I thought it was going to be a Fred Time story. Like, so I started going for distance now.
No, oh, God.
Dude, I'm going to say at least – I'm going to say maybe a minute and a half after that out of the house, I'm jacking in every direction. How could you not be? How could you not be? That's the first thing
a minute
you gotta
and a
do.
Half after they're out of the house, or are you going, see you later?
Could you close the door on the way?
He's working his way into the egg dish in the refrigerator door.
But, I mean, there's also a downside. Like, I'm doing all the chores now. You know, like, we split the chores, and I feel like that I'm working a little bit
more. What do
you
mean also a downside?
Yeah, not sleeping and eating is the upside.
And like,
what is
yeah,
the upside?
Remember, he takes X-lax all the time.
Right. Is there an upside?
No, you know what? There's no upside. I'm not even finding an upside. Like I'm watching TV and I laugh and I turn like to talk, like I'm gonna turn to talk to somebody and there's like my cat there. I'm like, that's the step. Oh, you're not here.
Oh my God, what's wrong with you,
Dr. X? You sir, get the prize. Fred's new lie of the week. That's Fred's lie of the week. That's insane.
No,
dude.
I believe him.
How could you seriously? I don't understand.
It really
I was
is true.
I've been looking on my MP3 player because I can't find that. Because that's what it would be. Yeah, it would be like the most exciting thing in the entire world. Like, oh, awesome vacation! It's me. I'm just hanging out. I'm not gonna put clothes on. I'm not gonna do anything. Oh, it's gonna be great. I'm gonna lay on the floor and sloth and just rub ointments all over.
Well, have
it's
you been
be
apart,
great.
Chris, from your significant other that from that long?
Absolutely not.
What was the longest? What was the longest like stretch?
3 hours on Thursday nights.
Yeah, no, I mean, a couple days here or there.
A couple of days.
Yeah, a couple of days. She went away. She went down to go visit some family down in Maryland for a couple of days.
In 10 years. Ten years, right?
Yeah. Oh, I'm not saying that there wasn't things that I missed about, but oh my God, did I enjoy that freedom. Oh my God, did I enjoy that freedom. Someone going away on vacation and taking a break. I went away to Chicago for work for a week. I've gone on business trips, and I go, absolutely. How do you not revel in that?
In my mind, Chris. I had that thought in my mind. I said, this is going to be great. You know, I'm going to have a mini vacation from, you know, being married. You know, no one's there. I get to do whatever I want. I could, you know, have free time right on the sofa. But it's nothing. I have no ability.
Right on the sofa?
Right on the sofa.
I'm never coming to your house again.
Yeah, that's not necessary.
Windex takes it right up.
That's not necessary.
And I really... Really?
I think I'm more grossed out by him spraying Windex on his couch.
You know, if you walk into Fred's house and you smell ammonia, you know you should leave. Like,
your windows are so clean. Oh, got a new movie.
Why does it smell like ammonia and chlorine all at the same time? It's just disgusting.
The ammonia smell takes out the chlorine smell.
He uses Windex pool cleaner.
Fred, are you wondering, like, what she's doing, like if she's missing too, is that part of the whole thing? Like, I wonder what she's doing.
She is stuck in a hotel room with one of her workmates.
His name's Chad.
No, thank God. Another female. But I couldn't believe how much. Come on, guys.
No one said anything.
Nothing wrong with that. There is nothing wrong with that.
On the contrary, it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful.
It's only right. It's only right.
It's God's will.
She's probably eating her.
Well, oh, come on.
I mean, like
his mother's proposal thing is what he's talking about.
Food. That's what I meant.
Well, I know what Brian would do. Brian would just play video games for a week straight.
Dude, there was a time in that. Yeah, first of all, you're nuts. You're crazier than I am. Because, there's a certain sense of, I can understand missing her. And there's a certain sense of freedom that just overwhelms all of that. Like, especially if you know that there is a bracket on it. There's only 5 or 6 days. You know she's going to be back. Oh.
Well, does this mean that I have more freedom than you guys in my relationship? If you guys are really, like, if your significant other leaves and you have this huge sense of freedom, do you have less of it?
I don't think it's a matter of that. I think you're codependent. I think maybe, it's more what it is than the fact that, do you think it's something wrong with you guys that you think it's freedom to be left alone for a little while? No, when you are away from someone and you are free of a situation that you're in, it is freedom. That, not to say that you're in torture to be there all the time, but you will enjoy the pleasures that you might not be able to enjoy at other times. The fact that you're sitting like an emotional cripple at this point because your girl's not in the house to talk to you about
the TV shows with him.
Listen, guys,
Steve
Carell
is so funny in that office, isn't he, honey? Honey, you're not here for me. I will talk to the cat instead. Oh, the cat's so cute, isn't he, honey?
I am not like that.
It's so funny you said that because I won't even watch The Office without my girlfriend because we watch together all the time.
I do that. Look, if my girlfriend's gone for a while, there's a couple shows that I won't watch until she gets back because, we're going to watch it together. I wouldn't think of doing that to step on her toes. But that's because.
I don't mean new ones, though. I mean just in general, though. You know, like I understand what you're saying. I do.
Thank you. And it's not like I'm moping around the house. It's shocked me that it had this effect on me. I thought I was going to be one way, and it turned out to go the complete opposite. And I can't believe it.
For me, it's all.
I don't believe it.
You really don't?
I think that you're genuinely lying.
I'm really being serious. I really am. I really, really am.
Take your glasses off. Let me see your eyes when you're saying this.
And like I said, my wife is not listening to the show. It's not like I'm trying to butter her up or anything like that. I honestly miss my wife, man. I think I'm going to cry a little bit.
That's beautiful. That's really beautiful. I'm not saying it's fine that you miss your wife. The fact that you're turning yourself into an emotional cripple because she's away for a couple of days is ridiculous. It's goddamn ridiculous.
Fred, you know what's weird, though? Your wife changed her Facebook status to staying at the Staten Island Hotel. Somewhere far away.
And it, the big thing is the sleep.
I thought I saw, oh, thank God, Serenity was actually all I saw as a status.
I can't sleep alone. Like, and now I've realized that I can't sleep in a bed by myself. Like, it's weird. Weird.
Oh, I go on vacation sometimes in my house. I say, yeah, I'm going to sleep on the couch tonight. I like that. I take a little break. Oh,
actually,
I love it.
His wife's status said, anyone who has a Facebook account, I'm on Staten Island and free for a week to hang out.
For me, one of the bonus and one of the best things about my girlfriend not being there is I get to sleep alone. Like, I really miss regularly being able to sleep alone. I know that makes me sound cold and distant and robotic and stuff.
But the guy that wants to kill people to save the planet.
Wait, I agree with the guy that wants to kill people.
It's just there's having the whole bed, not worrying about taking up too much space or being too loud with the snoring or any of it, just to be able to lay.
Do you hold your wife when you go to bed too? Like, are you very cuddly to go to bed every night?
You know what? Yeah.
I think. Well, that's probably why then, because you actually touch I guess you actually touch your wife when you go to bed.
Look, I do the same
thing.
They
cuddle, they talk, they sit and talk about how they're going to match outfits when they go out to dinner parties.
Exactly. You're
going to match each other grapes.
You are co-effing dependent, 100%. You are.
But I do this. I cuddle with Fred's wife when I sleep, too. It's not that. It's not that I'm like
that. Don't get me wrong. I am not saying that you have the wrong way to live. I might have the wrong way to live.
If you're saying I'm codependent, you're definitely, then I'm going to say distant.
Absolutely. Dude, I'll tell you that without question. Mm-hmm. Without question, I'm a piss poor emotional human being. I'm very awful at things like that. Absolutely.
And believe me, I am too. And that's why I do these things, to try to
lie.
I swear to you.
You're saying that you're bad at it in one breath, and that you're overcompensating by the needs that you have. It doesn't make sense.
Well, I'm really not an emotional person. I'm a horrible communicator. Do you know what I mean? I try in my life. I really don't emote all that much. And, you know, I'm sharing my life with somebody, and, you know, I'm trying to be an emotional person and real person to somebody.
I think it's the greatest thing in the world. Honestly, I think it's the greatest thing in the world that Fred feels this way.
Great.
And I'm not saying that it would be bad if he felt like, you know, oh, some free time, whatever. People, you know, they feel the way they feel.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think it's a good thing.
Please do not take it the wrong way. I also think that you're codependent. I think that you and your girlfriend cannot function without each other.
You mean because when I go to job interviews, I just sit to go back to
you hold her hands at the interview? No, I think that you two need each other. Absolutely. And I'm not saying it's wrong, but that's where you're emotionally at. You cannot function without her. She can't function without you. Fred obviously can't function without his girl. And I mean, I don't know. I would only assume that your girl can't function without you. I don't know.
I'm sure she's doing fine.
Fred, as soon as she comes back, we'll all go on a double date. We'll handcuff all of us to each other.
That'll work.
I don't know. I'm a wreck. I really am an emotional wreck.
Is there anything about it that you might be taking advantage of? Like, for me, the schedule goes out the window. I don't have something to do. I've not been committed to some sort of social obligation that is just around the corner. I can eat when I'm hungry. I can go to sleep when I'm tired.
You can't do that when she's there?
No, because I got to wait until lunch, or we're going to be eating together. And if I eat now, then I won't be eating the meal that we're cooking together.
That point lends credence to Fred's argument of the fact that you don't have freedom while she's there.
I mean,
well, that's what I'm saying. That's why he enjoys it so much. When
I feel like I've kind of I'm doing something bad if I'm eating before we're supposed to be, because, you know, or I'm staying up late or going to sleep.
I understand that I've lost a substantial amount of weight, but I used to be 300 pounds. There was never a problem with me eating at any time of day, no matter who was around in the house or not. It made no difference.
Well, because you were going to eat at the next meal anyway. Yeah, I'll eat now because we're going to eat together at dinner together.
No, I would. It wasn't necessarily, because I'm just saying this. I don't buy into that whole gimmick either. I don't know. You just hang out. You just hang out and whatever. And if the person that you're down with is there with you, cool. And if they're not, cool.
Honey,
maybe cooler. And I don't want to be the shock jock that's always doing jerk off angles. But hell, a porno on the DVD player in the living room looks so much better than on the computer in a room in the back. Absolutely, it's great.
I'm shocked myself that I haven't wanted to participate in myself on myself. Really, I thought that I would have a marathon this whole week. Yeah. Not once yet. Just haven't had the desire. I don't know why. I don't know what it is.
Just wait till she steps back into the door.
I wish there was a lie detector here. Because I'm shocked. I can't believe it. I'm sorry that I'm
Don't be. Be proud. Be a card carrying member of Codependents Unite or whatever the name of the CDU. That's your new crew. You guys could run the world. That's fine. It doesn't make you a bad person. It's just that's who you are. I'm going to go so far as to say you're not even in the minority. I think most people in the world feel that they need somebody around all the time. I got to be honest.
I'm that person. I'm that relationship person. I need to be in a relationship.
I need outward impulses in my life. Absolutely. I need to be around people, but I don't need to be like around my girl.
Chris, being codependent with your Ron and Fez MP3s doesn't count.
What do you mean? Well, no, but that's kind of the same thing, right? No, but I'm saying I don't understand the function of not being able of feeling like, whoo, if that person, if your special one isn't with you all the time. Yeah, whatever. Congratulations. CDU forever. CDU. I think it's great. What? I'm not judging you guys. I mean, I am. But I'm judging you like in
Mr.
a nice...
Mr. Freeze over here, though. You have no feelings.
I'm judging you in a nice, like, shut up, losers kind of way.
You get to watch the TV that you want now? Those stupid shows that she doesn't want, the movie that... you've watched Die Hard 20 times. I don't want to watch it again with you. Now you get to do that. No. Or maybe that's just me.
Yeah, it's just you, man.
Fred, you get to play video games all week. What's wrong with you?
Keith, have you ever been away from your girl for a long stretch?
Yeah, I had a job interview this week.
Really?
Legitimately, have you been away from your girl more than a day in the past year?
No.
Okay. Case closed.
Yeah. But I don't want to be. I mean,
of course you don't. That's the idea behind it is that you don't want to be. I'm not suggesting that it's a jail term by any means. It's what you want.
And Keith, if you were,
I want to be
apart. Who are you going the cold Chris route, or are you emoting like me?
How did I become cold? Because I understand that when you go on vacation, it's acceptable to be separated from someone because you'll see them again a week later. You know. You, and also understand that you're talking to,
but you are actually saying like, oh, I get to, you and Brian are actually saying, now I get to do the things I want to do.
There are things that you get to enjoy when you're alone that you don't get to enjoy when you're with someone 24 hours.
That's what I'm saying. Look, why should that be? Why shouldn't you?
Because I have a 5-year-old in my house and I can't watch porno on the living room TV.
I'm saying, why can't Brian eat when he wants? The little things. Why can't he eat when he wants?
Let's be honest. Brian can stand to not eat so much. It doesn't make a difference. He should wait until his girl tells him he's allowed.
Well, I mean, there's a time when my girlfriend's planning on going to a vacation or something, and it looks okay in a couple weeks. I'm going to be away for a couple days, and you're going to have the place to yourself. I kind of look forward to it. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, maybe it's because we also live in a small apartment in Brooklyn, mm-hmm. being on top of each other all the time. I'm sure if I said the same thing to her, she'd be wanting my ass out of the house as well. And then a couple weeks down the road, the plans change, and it looks like, oh, it fell through. I'm going to stay here. I feel guilty about it, but I definitely feel cheated. I feel bad. I feel I was looking forward to these 3 or 4 days that I was going to have hanging out alone, and now they've been stolen from me because of your planning. I know that's a really awful thing to say, and it's an awful thing to say.
It's a little bit on the other extreme side, but I can understand it.
I feel horrible. I felt horrible saying it that way. And when it came right down to it, with you know, I didn't hate
honey,
her.
Honey, I'm coming home early. No.
You start to make plans about all the. You start to make plans about not having to have plans anymore.
Joining us on the hottest of all lines here on Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. Who's this?
This is Walter Sokchak. How are you guys?
Hey, what's buddy. Up, how are you?
Well, actually, I just wanted to call and jump. Yeah, some of you haven't either been in relationships long enough or married long enough. It's not that you don't love them. It's just nice to take a breath and not have somebody 2 foot away from you.
Oh, God, yes.
So what are you doing?
You know,
Walter, your girl goes away for a week. What are you doing? What's the first thing you do?
Well, you know, considering the fact that I got 2 kids, and speaking of which, before I forget, Apparently, we're adding another member of the family to the Texas wing of the Harris Talk family, apparently.
Holla! Another baby soap check on the way. Yeah. What, you don't like to yell holla like that?
Yeah, I know. Erica said you need to blame those guys, that Labor Day event. Apparently, there was something in the, alcohol or
the
something.
The barbecue?
But, yeah. We've already joked that if it's a boy, we're probably going to name him like Staten or something after Staten Island.
Oh, good God, no. Please give the kid a fighting chance, would you?
Sweet or vicious, I say.
Oh, there you go. I've already decided if it is a little boy, that his nickname is probably going to be Hutt. So.
Very good. Very good. Nice. Awesome. By the way, he's doing that right in the face of your whole thing about trying to thin out the population.
Yeah, you're choking the planet. So
he's fighting right on the other side.
You're killing me.
Absolutely.
King's Ranch. Yeah, there's a lot of space out there. He's fine.
Yeah, I know. Apparently, when you start to have more than like one, it becomes a clan. And I'm like, being in the South, it gets a little scary with that word. But
that's why I say you go with squadron. It's the Texas squadron that you got going. It's the Texas squadron from Heroes Talk. I like the idea.
Yeah, it'll be tough when we're trying to host events and, we got a kid screaming in the corner. So it'll kind of limit some of that a little bit. But
baby kid.
Sorry, we have germs.
Yeah, well, but back to what Fred was saying, the fact of the matter, what I do is like, I don't necessarily change my, what I do during the day. It's just the fact that, like, I can do it without having to worry about whether somebody is taken care of. Like, where's my kid? Is my wife okay? I can just go. Mm-hmm. And there's some kind of ease to that. And trust me, like I said, we've been married, basically 7 years. And after a while, it's just like, look, she's cool, I'm cool, and you got to grow apart. Not to grow together, sometimes you got to go do your own thing, and grow outside of the relationship so they have something to share with her. Hey, look what I did today. You weren't there at all.
But you're not going to miss them? You're going to still miss them, though, right, Walter?
Oh, of course. Absolutely. I got a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old boy. You miss them, but it's not like, you're not going to pine over it. Sure. Oh, my God, what if I don't see my kid, one of those things you just take a breath. You know that it's short term. Well, soon, hopefully it's short term.
Yes.
But God forbid something occurs or you find out something that they're doing something behind your back. But other than that, nothing's long term. If they're gone for a couple of days, they're gone.
It's just terrific. This feeling.
A week. I'm sorry.
The feeling took me by surprise.
Please
and
go away for a year.
I'm telling you, when Fred told me, I'm dropping my girl off it's at a friend's house and she's going up to, I don't know if you want to say where she's going, but going up to this state,
Texas.
Someplace away.
New Hampshire.
Yeah, she's going to New Hampshire. My immediate thing that I said to Fred on the phone was like, dude, kegger at Fred's house. Awesome. Like, you must be psyched. And he was like, yeah. And just kind of left it at that. I was just like, all right,
for
whatever.
For me, it's just the opposite. The last time it happened, there was a Thursday in the middle of it, and I had to come to this radio station. It made me angry that I had a social commitment in the middle of my 4-day non-social commitment thing. I wanted to lock the doors, unplug the phones, and F everyone,
Brian,
forget anyone.
On behalf of the Hear Us Talk listening audience, don't feel like you have to come. Please feel free to stay home whenever you want. Right. Enjoy that vacation time.
Eat whoever you want.
Well, some of us, like when we go away, like I have two boys I got to watch. It's one thing to sit and play with them on the floor and play Legos. Fred, you don't have any kids, man.
Yes.
Like I don't want to add the explicit part to this, but there's a word for that, and it's kind of pussy.
What?
Acting like a pussy. That might be explicit to the show, but sometimes you got to call a spade, man. Go out and have some fun.
I mean, I don't have fun even when my girl's here. But it's like, I'm going to be so cheesy now, but it was like you don't know what you got until it's gone. And that's what it is.
You faggot! She left for a week! You faggot!
It's a week of my life!
A week of my life?
Seriously, think about this.
Said?
Think about what you're effing saying at this point. Your girl went away for a week, and you're talking about don't know what you got till it's gone? Shut up, you melodromatic faggot!
Who wears the mantles in
this
family?
Your girl went away for a friggin' week, and you're making it out to be like some huge, like, oh my God, I can't even. Dude, shut up! Shut up! Watch your Howard Stern on demand on your living room couch and jerk off and stop being a pussy!
I think I'm gonna have to go get my gun and go shoot something to feel manly after listening to this.
Allow me to suggest, Fred.
Can Brian eat it?
Let that be the first thing you shoot.
As long as Brian can eat it after you shoot.
Yeah, no kidding. Whatever, I'll tag it and bag it and bring it up there to Brian. There you go.
Use and reuse.
You guys have no soul. You're soulless, Chris. You're
no, I'm not soulless. I'm actually a grown man. Soulless. And I actually have man parts. And I actually could walk around with a certain sense of masculinity and self-respect. That I'm not sitting here like a sissy puss because someone went away for a week.
Hey, I want to have a private conversation with Fred. Fred, do you ever wake up and like feel like scared and then look over and see they're there and be all comforted? Oh,
that's the best part of my day. That's the best part of my day is when I open my eyes and I see my lovely girl sleeping right next to me and I give her a nice kiss on the forehead.
You know what, dude? I ain't got no quarrel with you loving your girl. I ain't got no quarrel with you wanting to spend every minute that you can with her. I think it's super. I think it's great. I think it's magical. I'm jealous. I would love to be so, for every minute of your day that you get to be with her. It's E-W-E-W-E-W-R-R.
Andrew Dice Clay's Nixon impression.
Yeah, you know, that's fine. That's terrific. I think that's awesome for you. But for you to start putting some sort of drama to the fact when she steps away, like, do you have to go get yourself a hanky when she goes to the supermarket? Oh, wait, no, that's right. You guys hold hands in the produce section together, you two
fairies.
Absolutely.
See,
we both grabbed this testosterone treatment.
See, both Walter and Chris are making it sound as if that's effeminate. And I don't know, I guess I take umbrage at that because I think a woman would also be kind of excited about having some of her own time. Like, my girlfriend would certainly be excited not to have to deal with me for 4 or 5 days in a row.
Well, that says something right there. I think you're really kind of speaking volumes for yourself. But, no, it's okay. It's okay to have a little alone time, but being a man,
I don't know. I'm just saying, and I think we just lost Walter in the middle of that.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Hey, I'm sitting here. I'll talk to y'all later. The phone's cutting out.
Sorry, buddy.
Thanks, Walt.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Walter.
Joining in. I'm gonna say, but you're saying that it's. I'm telling you that if the girl, the girl that's part of whatever codependent relationship that wants to be there, she's a faggot too. It has nothing to do with feminine or effeminate. You know, she's a faggot just the same way. It's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I like I said, I think it's fine. I think it's great if you guys want to be a part of some lovey-dovey thing. It's great. I think it's awesome. Now that's, in all seriousness, it is totally cool. And there's nothing wrong with it. But to lament some sort of sadness because you're apart for a week is just you melodramatic homo.
It's really not sadness. It's the fact that it affected me. In such a way. It affected me. I didn't think it was going to affect me this much.
So
I thought I was
going to
get a great night's sleep.
You're not looking forward to going home tonight.
I'm not. Absolutely.
See,
not.
Can I go to your house tonight?
Why don't you come to Brooklyn and hang out with me?
Rob, you want to sleep over?
Yeah.
Rob, please sleep over.
Will you guys cuddle?
I'll cuddle with you.
In all honesty, I would do anything to have a camera watch the sleepover of Rob and Fred. Oh, that would be my favorite.
In footsie pajamas.
I'll tell you this. I would sit on the couch with my wife and we would cuddle and snuggle the night away watching the Fred and Rob slumber party. That would be my favorite. That would be my favorite thing ever.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry I'm an emotional wreck. I'm sorry. Forgive me, please. What am I going to do? This is how I feel.
Just so you know, Spickle, our buddy Spickle, Philadelphia's own, is suggesting that he loves the idea of staying at Fred's house, too. He would love to hang with your hot wife.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
I hope those Phillies lose.
I don't know.
No reason to get personal.
See, well, screw you guys.
Seriously, it's his team. Again, there's nothing wrong with you having the love.
Never going to admit my.
I think it's great.
Feelings.
I think it's great. I think it's great. I just think it. I think it's crazy that you're getting this sad over someone taking a vacation. Stop it. Stop it. You know.
I can't.
Perspective.
Believe...
Perspective.
Live life, Fred. Live life.
Look at the real world.
You know what?
And get some perspective.
Maybe he's more emotional than logical.
Okay.
Maybe if you look at everything like logical, like, well, yes, this person will be back in so-and-so amount of time, but he's feeling what he's feeling now.
And that's a good thing, being more emotional than logical?
Codependents unite. You know what? One of you guys says something ridiculous, the other one swears by it. Hey, good for you guys.
Well,
good
the
for
most
you.
Logical dude in the room wants to eat people.
Yeah.
I'm not suggesting that Brian is right on every count, but he's
I don't want to eat people. I think it's the right thing to do.
I just have to.
It's the right thing to do.
It is. I've been tasked with it by my sanity.
If there was a God, it would have been his will.
I think it's great. I think it's great. Be happy. Be happy to be with your wife. Be sad to be away from her for 14 minutes. Good for you.
Sorry.
No, don't be. Don't be.
You certainly are sorry. He is definitely sorry.
Screw you guys.
He's a sorry, sorry man.
Come home soon.
Thanks.
Come home soon, baby.
Is this the show ending right now?
I miss you, girl. I miss you so much, girl. Come home.
Never forget, Fred.
This is the end of the show. This is really beautiful. Well, special thanks to you guys for checking us out and being here. Special thanks to our buddy Ken from New Jersey, DJ New Style, Sheepy, Keith Fu, and Walter Sobchak for calling in and being part of the show. Guys, seriously, don't forget ICU2.com. It's a really awesome video thing, chat software. Come on. You know, we'll see you guys tomorrow night here for the Watch Show. I'll see you guys next Tuesday for the DJ New Style Show. See you next Wednesday for a movie night with our buddy Crazy Monk. And next Thursday, Best in Show once again.
I said what?
In the butt. Perfect.
Perfect
in that last bit. Seriously, guys, thanks for hanging out. We'll check you guys out next week. Cocky Socks, Steamroller, roll over your face. We'll see you guys on the radio. 88. Peace. Very, very good point. Congratulations to our buddies Walter and Erica on the new arrival, or the soon to be new arrival.
In the butt, I said what? In the butt, I said what? In the butt, you wanna do it in my butt? In my butt, you wanna do it in my butt? In my butt, you wanna do it in my butt? In my butt, let's do it in the butt. Okay, it's okay if you have a little fright. Don't you worry, I won't bite. Not that hard if you want it. I'll give you power. Just be gentle. I'm delicate like a flower. I said what in the butt. 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 You wanna do it in my butt? In my butt. You wanna do it in my butt? In my butt. You wanna do it in my butt? In my butt. Let's do it in the butt. Okay. I will give you what you need. All I want is your big fat seed. Give it to me. If you please. Give it to me. If you please. I'll give you what you need. All I want is your big fat seed. Give it to me. If you please. Give it to me. If you please. What? In the butt. I said what? In the butt. I said what? In the butt. I said what? In the butt. You wanna do it in my butt? In my butt. You wanna do it in my butt? In my butt. You wanna do it in my butt? In my butt. Let's do it in the butt. Okay. What? I will give them what you need. What? I want the butt. I say what gives me. In the butt. I say what gives me. In the butt. If you play what? I will give them what you need. In my butt. I want my butt. You wanna do it in my butt? In my butt. I say what gives me. In the butt. If you wanna do it in what? In my butt. You wanna say what? Okay.
Good luck getting that one out of your head.
Entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears, and the place to be.